WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The king's coming. He's coming! He's coming! Yes, him! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious vixen right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Is that Belviv DeVoe?
We got some Belviv DeVoe tonight.
Wow, that is old school. And anyway, hey everyone, welcome to The Rack here at Wild Talk Radio. I am Jackie, and this is my lovely co-host, Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good, and of course, as always, is our producer, Sorokin. Hi, Rock.
Hello. Time to stir things up tonight. I got some weird musical choices in mind. We're going to go old school tonight. It's going to be fun.
So I'm just curious. What brought up the old school?
I don't know. I'm looking for music going on. Okay. I won't play that. I have no... It's like, you play all the same songs over and over again. Let's go old school. Let's go, stuff, from years and years ago and, about 5 years from now, everything from about 10 years ago, 10 years from this point will be old, so,
God, I remember Belviv DeVoe. God, I had to have been in middle school or elementary school. And for those of you who don't know who Belviv DeVoe is, if it helps at all, half of Belviv DeVoe went on with half of another group called ABC, Another Bad Creation, and that group became Boyz II Men. It's just... quick history lesson. Okay, but anyway, so we're not here to talk about music. We're here to talk about
wrestling.
They
were also part of the group New Edition.
Oh, wow. New Edition, too?
Yeah, they were part of New Edition, which most people know them from. Yeah. Maybe throw in some New Edition tonight. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Have some fun tonight, folks. Let's have some fun.
So we're here to talk about a few things, and we're going to start with Raw. But for the most part, because of a very unfortunate set of circumstances, Lindsay's not able to temporarily be on the Monday night show. So since I got my feelings out about Raw on Monday, Lindsay, this is your forum today as we talk about various things that happened.
I thought Raw overall, it was a decent show. It wasn't anything special. It was kind of average. I wasn't in the best of moods. I haven't been in the best of mood all week, actually, so I was particularly pissed off Monday night, so I had to go back and watch it again today, now that I'm in a little bit better mood, and it wasn't anything special. It was decent. I missed the main event on Monday, so I watched Tensai versus Cena, and Tensai seems to be improving a little bit, but he's still just not quite all there just yet. And I don't know if that varies on who they're putting him in the ring with, if they haven't found somebody that he has good chemistry with. I can't quite figure it out, but I know one thing I have decided is that costume of his has got to go.
Oh, yeah, we're in agreement on that. My guess would be also, even though we're discussing Rob right now, a little bit of your bad mood is also because your boy cut his hair, too.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just, she likes hair. And first Kane cut his hair, then Taker cut his hair, then Bobby Roode cut his hair. Poor thing.
The hair didn't start till Tuesday. She was in a bad mood before that. It's okay. We're gonna get her bad mood tonight. We're gonna play some old music and she'll go, I'm gonna kill you, Rock. I'm gonna kill you, Rock. I'm gonna kill you, Rock.
Yeah, but if she's in a mood, she may just do it.
Bring it on, Lindsay. Bring it on.
I haven't done it all week, so what's gonna make me do it now?
Well, darling, the forum is yours. So, Rock, how did Raw open on Monday?
You're supposed to ask. We had a match at the start of the show, CM Punk and Mark Henry. I know Lindsay liked the match, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was one of my more favorite matches of the night. I mean, they have Henry and Punk is kind of sort of an odd pairing, and in a more quote unquote extreme match, they work very, very well together. And I really liked what they did on Monday. It was very entertaining. They sold it well. It had a lot of really good intensity to it, and the finish was nice. So, bravo to them for that.
Right. I'm trying to think of what are the big things. What do you think of the pub and, you know, fish and chips and, you know, oh my God, he's drunk because he went to a pub. Oh my God.
Yeah, the whole thing with the pub, like I said in my write-up that I sent to you, is show me a Punk with a beer or a liquor bottle in his hand, and then I will talk. Punk going into a bar is kind of like Punk going into a Chili's. I mean, seriously, it's, so Punk goes into a pub in England, okay, they serve all kinds of foods over there, it's also a restaurant.
Right.
You know, you could show the same thing, he's walking into a Chili's, ooh yeah, they serve alcohol there, but that doesn't mean that Punk was getting drunk, he could have gone in there to get a burger or something. So,
yeah, I think the fish and chips sign kind of made it obvious, just saying.
Yeah, the restaurant sign out front, you know, with Jericho railing on and on and on about Punk went in there to get a beer, I'm like, but it's advertising food. Because it wasn't even a pub, it was like something something in.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't even necessary, it wasn't labeled as a pub or a bar. It was labeled as an inn that had a food sign outside of it, and they were accusing him of getting drunk.
Last week, we discussed how kind of absurd it was that John Laurinaitis came out and said, oh, they fined Sheamus $500,000 for kicking Chad Patton. And one of the things that I said, at least my opinion on it, was the reason why they went that far is because they assume that their audience is all 8, 9, and 10-year-olds and who don't fathom how much that money is. And I'm wondering if maybe they didn't pull the same thing this time. Because a pub in the UK is a little bit different than a bar in the United States, I think they just assumed that we were going to assume that a pub and a bar were the same thing and we weren't going to know that he probably went in there for food.
I would guess that to the average person, maybe, but most people... are familiar with the fact that an English pub is not necessarily the same thing as a bar. I mean, there are enough English, Irish, Scottish, British variations of the pub that have been bastardized here in the States that you can kind of get the picture that a pub is not a bar. It's essentially a restaurant that serves alcohol that's also a meeting place. That's what it is. I mean, you can watch most shows. It's like if you watch, I don't know if anybody else is obsessed with it, but I'm obsessed with the Tudors. And if you watch it, they do a lot of scenes in the pub, in the inn, and you see it's a meeting place where you can eat, drink, and be merry. So I think most people have seen that image of it and don't necessarily, this is just my opinion on it, wouldn't necessarily see it as a bar. Now, if they showed Punk going into a bar, ordering a drink, like you have Punk walk up, he sits down at a bar, he orders a drink, okay? Bartender brings it over, and it's clear. You could even have it be just water, just for sake of argument. Punk orders a drink, he orders water, bartender sets it down, you can argue that's vodka.
Right.
If you wanted to, and that's a way to kind of sort of further that or get around that. But yeah, just showing him walking in, that was my whole thing. It's like you kind of expect the next clip to be he walks into the bar or the pub or whatever. He sits down and he orders a drink. Instead, it's they show him walking in, they show him walking out, and that's it.
One issue that I kind of have with this angle is that this, if you look back and we assume kayfabe is alive and well, this would not be the first time Punk has gone into a bar and walked out without drinking. So it's not like, I mean, he went, if I'm not mistaken, right before they let Serena Deeb go, he went into a bar to pull her out. If he was, if there was this thing where Punk had, you know, this lifestyle, this previous history of being, you know, very tempted to drink, and he's only straight edge because he's trying to avoid being like his father, arguably he may not have gone in after Serena. So I don't know if it's one of those things where kayfabe is just conveniently what they needed to be at that time, if they assume that we have no memory. Most likely they assume we have no memory, but I was just kind of like, yeah, it's not the first time we've seen Punk come out of a bar.
Yeah, I think it's a little from column A and a little from column B, honestly. I mean, it's, they use kayfabe when they need it, and then they also assume that we're not going to remember the straight edge society. Because again, they're not targeting the product at the adults, they're targeting the product at, you know, 7 to 12 year olds.
Right.
So, most 7 to 12 year olds will not remember the SES. Because that was what? 07, 08?
Was that long ago?
I would say
Serena Deeb was let go within the last, what, rock year? 2 years?
Something,
year and a half?
Something like that. This is where Google is going to be my friend.
SES was the same time that Vicky Guerrero was general manager, wasn't it? No, it was 10.
Yeah.
09 or 010.
Yeah, they debuted in November 27, 2009, disbanded September 3rd, 2010.
Because Kane questioned Punk, I remember that now.
Right, so this would not be the first time we've seen Punk come out of a bar, so it was just kind of like, yeah, no, not buying it.
So it is what it is. It's for what they needed it to do, I guess it worked. I mean, it's Jericho trying to further his cause, further his storyline, but I think they could have done that a slightly different way and gotten the same effect.
Right. Now my question is, why is Jericho stalking Punk?
He's obsessed with him.
Who took the video?
That's what I mean. He must have been stalking CM Punk. It's like, okay, Jericho, we get it. You got the fancy light bright jacket. Now you're stalking people?
Yeah, it's weird how they get that video. It's kind of like, if you guys will remember when Shane McMahon and Kane were feuding and Shane lured Kane into a limousine and then had it used a 2x4 and it drove into a truck for something that quote unquote we were not expecting to happen. They sure did have that shot from 10,000 angles after that car ran into the truck.
It must have been that dastardly GTV.
Yeah.
Going old.
Well, you know, you can just look at it at the same guy that stalked Taker's wife all those years ago is now stalking CM Punk. He just got a better camera.
He's mad because he insulted his yoga.
Yes.
Just saying.
That dude. Bad man. We know where this goes. Not pretty.
CM Punk doesn't have a wife, right? No, okay. So we're good there.
He has Aleta, but he doesn't have a wife.
Oh, that's right. He has Aleta. So, yeah. So, you know, Punk, you better say you're sorry about the yoga. Otherwise, it's going to get worse. They're going to follow you into the pub next time. Just saying.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, it worked, and it was a nice segment. It was a nice way to open Raw. And, yeah. I mean, that's... I liked it. I don't know what else to say about it, really.
What do you think of Brock, the promo they did with him?
I went back and watched it.
Okay.
And actually sat through it.
I know.
I liked the way they did it. I liked the way that it was styled. I hate, you know, just for the record, I cannot stand Brock Lesnar. I think he's an ass. I think he's a highly overpaid ass, as a matter of fact, but... You know what, you cannot beat WWE's production, either post or pre, just because of the way that they did that promo was so good. And it reminded you a lot of the UFC pre-fight specials. It reminded you of just UFC in general. It had that same look, that same feel. And it put Brock, I think, more back into his element a little bit, just because he's not used to cutting promos in the ring anymore in a more WWE style. He's not used to doing WWE backstage interviews. I mean, you could argue that doing the stuff at UFC is essentially the same thing, but it's really kind of not.
No, because they're usually never they usually never give them a live promo. It's usually something taped like we saw with Brock tonight.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, the content was lacking. I don't think Lesnar has the brain any bigger than a pea. But
so that makes him a pea brain? Okay.
Yeah, pea brain. So,
trending. Worldwide.
Well, you know, seeing as John Cena pisses himself every time he sees Brock.
Wait, oh, where's the center? God damn it, I was late on the center. Sorry. You said piss.
Sorry.
It's not supposed to go on air.
Piss, damn, fuck, hell, crap, shit.
Barbara Streisand. You can say all the nasty words on this network.
But, yeah, I like the way it was done. I just don't like Lesnar. Really, really, really don't like Lesnar.
Yeah, I'm kind of with her. I was kind of over Lesnar, especially when word started getting out about why he left the first time. But, again, I'll agree with Lindsay. To WWE's credit, he's been around for 2-3 weeks. You see that one video with him, and I already care more about this feud than I did for Rock Cena after a year.
Let's see, what else happened on Raw? This is where I'm struggling from my memory. Oh, what did you think of John Cena's response to it?
John Cena's response was pretty good. I mean, I like the fact that he's taking this more seriously than he did Rock Cena. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was my biggest complaint about the Rock Cena feud was John Cena and The Rock, to a certain extent, were both very hit or miss on their promos. And that feud required a little bit more serious nature, especially as they started coming down to it. And granted, Rock and Cena did get serious there at the end, but all the stuff prior with the Fruity Pebbles and the lady parts and all the other shit kind of tainted it a little bit for me. I like how they're starting this serious and they're carrying it through. And you're having Cena see Brock more as a legitimate threat.
There's that word again.
Yeah. Whereas The Rock was not to him. It's Brock comes in and he's a threat.
He's going to kick my ass.
He's going to kill me in the middle of the ring and everybody's going to see it. And, you know, I would even argue this is the match Cena has to win versus The Rock match. You know, and I don't remember if he said it or not, but this would be the match I would think Cena would want to win more than the one with The Rock. Just because this is your bread and butter right here.
This was the guy you were coming up with, and this is the guy who left, and this is the guy who can, quite frankly, kick your fucking ass.
This is the guy who can kick anybody's on that roster, save for probably Big Show, and even then that's questionable. Ass.
Yeah.
He can legit fight. He can legit beat the shit out of you. And that's the whole thing. I like where they're going with this feud. I almost wish that this feud was not going to happen at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, it's
I would have rather have seen this on Mania or seen this at SummerSlam than in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, she's right. I mean, they could always fight again, but the draw of it being their first time since Lesnar's return, wasting it in Extreme Rules,
But I get why they're doing it. They're striking while the iron is hot with these two. Because they started out, oh, he came after Cena. If he went after someone else, that's where you would have started. They started at the top, now, you know, they'll work their way back down a little bit as we go along. With Brock.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm actually kind of waiting to see if they reference the Brock Cena feud from, I want to say, 03 or 04. I think it was 03.
They've been doing that on WWE.com, I think.
But I'm waiting for them to do it on TV. I'm waiting for them to acknowledge that they have feuded once before. And I think Cena came out on top in that feud. I could be wrong.
I don't think so.
I know he feuded with Taker around that same time, and he came out on top on Taker. I don't remember if he came out on top regarding Brock.
Backlash 2004, I think the show was. I'm looking as Ellen types to me on Facebook. Hi, Ellen Wojcik. I'm doing a show. Sorry.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Mace. Who else are we missing? Mace, Ellen.
Tim.
Eh.
Hi, Tim.
Eh.
Hi, Omega.
Hi, Omega.
By the way, out of everything I tweeted you, the fact that my ass is numb and you know a way to warm it up is the only one that gets your attention. You're a fucking perv. Just saying.
And it was Backlash 2003. Brock Lesnar, WWE Champion, defeated John Cena.
Okay, so Lesnar came out on top in that feud. So I would be interested to see if they don't reference back to that. Either Lesnar doesn't reference back to it, or Cena doesn't. I would actually prefer to see Lesnar reference back to it and him say, "When I was here in 03, I kicked your ass, I beat you down, and I'm going to do the same thing in 2012. And you could even reference the match.
Yeah.
Show the match. If you wanted to. I mean, it would be a nice tie-in to reference the fact that these two have clashed before, they have met before, and Cena lost.
Right. And they really should. And they got 3 hours this Monday to sell us more on this pay-per-view, so I would think they should bring that up. They have the time. they have the time, and they have what? How many matches are on Not-So-Extreme Rules?
Four? Right now, I think they only have three.
Three or four?
Yeah.
Which we're going to get into in a moment. But before we get to that, this is my show, but I'm going to... I'm the one who remembers Raw. some big guy wears black and red defeated some guy who wears purple, orange, and black.
He didn't defeat him, he killed him.
Right, he killed him.
Again. For the fourth time.
Only two Just months saying. After the last.
It was great to see the return match and them actually reference back to what happened in January. I was actually a little shocked that they were showing Kane killing Zack Ryder multiple times prior to the match. I was like, wow. My poor, only... I'm sorry,
I can't catch. I was going to say poor that poor guy. Zack Ryder can't catch a break.
I don't know who he pissed off. I don't know if it's the fact that people are now coming back off of injury. I don't know what the deal is, but goddamn, dude. Wow. And he's lost now, what, every match since Mania?
I think he won one on TV.
No, did he?
I think he did.
No, he's lost to Del Rio. He got killed by Kane, beat by Del Rio, lost to The Miz, lost at Mania. Who did he?
Has he been on SmackDown?
You're the SmackDown reporter.
Yeah, no, he's been on Raw. He hasn't been on SmackDown, that I remember. But yeah, I mean, I don't know whose cornflakes he pissed in. I don't know if they're just over him. I don't know what the deal is, but they were hot on Zack Ryder for a while. They put him in that big, huge feud regarding Cena and Kane. They had Kane kill him in every way possible. They set him up to be a really great, sympathetic baby face concerning the situation with Eve. And then they had him take a nut shot at Mania, and that was it. And so, I actually liked where they were going with Ryder. And I was interested to see how they would build Ryder. But apparently they're not going to build Ryder. Apparently they're just going to kind of, kick him to the wayside, and that's going to be that.
It seems like he reached his peak in a lot of people's eyes, in creative's eyes, I should say. And now this is them bringing him back down to life so they can eventually build him back up, possibly?
I would disagree with that. You could have done so much more with him.
Oh, I understand that. But, some people, creative, go, oh, we don't see him as a star. He's only good for, the internet. And we don't like the internet.
Well, they kind of like the internet. They like us when we watch their internet shows. They like us when we talk about them on Twitter and Facebook.
But
other than that, no, they could give two craps about us. But
yeah, speaking of later in the show, I will give more details on what we are doing Monday night. I have more details to give.
I actually have one more hashtag I want to add.
Okay.
But we'll get into that later. But yeah, I mean, Kane looked good. Kane look always looks good. I don't think, you know, there's ever time Kane looks bad.
No, there's not. In 16 years, he's never looked bad.
Well, except for that one time when he took his mask off and he looked like Cindy Lou Who. But,
oh, when he only had half a head of hair, yeah.
He only had half a head of hair. Other than that, you know, the segment was good. He talked about the feud with the Ortons. He helped sell that. They referenced back to what happened on SmackDown. There seems to be a flow of continuity in wrestling right now that's kind of disturbing a little bit.
Do tell.
Well, I mean, it's just you're referencing back to stuff. It's like Kane Ryder. They're looking back, you know, as far as January. Mm-hmm. They haven't forgotten that happened. John Cena, they mentioned, I think, the feud with Kane. They mentioned obviously, the feud with The Rock going into the feud with Cena. Eve, they're actually keeping up with kind of well. And I mean, I'm just noticing this, that they seem to be having a much better flow concerning their storylines, and they're referencing back to things that happened. Whereas I think a couple months ago they weren't necessarily doing that. Right. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just kind of something that I'm seeing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and that's a good thing.
It's an awesome thing.
The history matters. If you don't think so, go to the history of WWE.com.
And listen to our podcast while you're there, Triple Talk Wrestling Radio. I'm just saying.
See how we work that in. You brought up Eve. So, Eve, Laurinaitis, and Otunga walk into a room together and...
Close the door behind them. Just saying.
All I want to know is who's the unlucky one in the middle.
That would probably be Eve.
I don't know. Who's the bigger bitch, Eva or Otunga?
That's what I was thinking. I think it might have been Otunga.
By the way, just as a side note, in watching the Cena Tensai match, Otunga could have fought out of Cena's finishing maneuver just a little bit. Just, you know, just a touch. You could have fought it, dude. Just, you know, instead of laying there like a limp ditch, you know, you could actually try to fight out of it and not take it, but... Okay.
To each its own.
To each its own.
Now, Rock, I have a question for you. Do we have here on the rack a random news spot?
A random news spot?
Yeah, when something weird happens and I can just bring it up.
Give me a moment. I can find you a little sounder for it.
Well, I was thinking we'd do it on the other side of the break.
Sure, that
would work. Do it now.
You want to do it now? Because we can go like this. A breaking announcement.
Wow. Okay, well, it wasn't that big a deal. I just kind of wanted to point it out before I start talking about it and everyone thinks I'm crazy. I posted it in the production chat, and I will post it in the chat room. Somebody has randomly uploaded to WWE's YouTube site a video of a baby walking. Some new mommy on WWE's YouTube site is teaching her what appears to be adorable little baby girl learn how to walk. Someone's just doing drugs at WWE's web YouTube site and is posting weird stuff. Yeah, and so that was the only thing. Like I said, it wasn't worth the big production, although I do thank you.
Well, we try to do things big on this show. We have production value. We have some production value on this show.
Although I will say, I have that rug in my office.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not you, is it?
No.
Okay.
I don't have any kids. But I do have that rug. And I know where they got that. Somebody likes IKEA.
Hashtag, they got it from IKEA.
Oh, God, that's going to be our new hashtag. Shit. We only have 10 million hashtags. The show of a million hashtags, The Rack, on WTR.
The network of 1,000 hashtags.
Swedish Walmart is awesome. Don't make fun of it.
Oh, there's a kitty in the video, too, and the baby's hugging the kitty.
Oh, Lord.
It's an all-white kitty. It's precious.
Hey, Anyway, back to Raw.
Any final thoughts before we go to break?
No, I'm over it. I had my little squee moment, and I just wanted to bring that up. Who's ever doing this at WWE, stop doing a crack while you're working on that YouTube site. Just saying.
Share the crack.
Lindsay, any final thoughts you want to throw in there, out there about Raw before we take the break?
It was good. I'm a little hesitant about this Monday just because it is a 3-hour Raw. I know the draft was supposed to be in this Raw, and we're not going to have it. So we're having a non-gimmicked 3-hour Monday Night Raw, and I shudder to think of what they're going to do to fill that time. But
yeah,
my other thought is I have a little bit of an issue with the fact, and I put this in there, that, again, no Divas match for, what, a second or even a third week in a row on Monday Night Raw?
Eve got on TV, but the champion didn't.
Your only representatives of the women's division are AJ and Eve, and if you want to count them, Brodus Clay's dancers.
Apparently, they are official Divas now. They're on the Raw roster and the Divas roster.
Okay, well, so your only representatives are a couple dancers, a wannabe hoe, and a spineless snip. That's it.
And Vicky.
And Vicky. Well, I don't count Vicky as a diva because she's way too awesome to be a diva. But, yeah, and that's not to down the Divas division, but it's just the image that puts across is kind of speaks volumes as far as what they think of it. That's my only thing. Is it was like, really? You're not going to put your Divas champion on TV because I don't think she's on SmackDown either. I know Natty is. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Spoiler alert, Natty's on TV and she's in a match. And from what we hear, there may be blood.
Awesome. But, you know, the fact that they're involving blood is good, even if it is accidental. You know, they're not freaking out about it like they used to, where they would stop the match and have the trainers come out to attend and everybody, and then they would continue.
Stop! There's blood! Get them down there! Where are the guys with the white gloves?
I mean, I get why they did it for health reasons, but again, you know, just don't have them go in the crowd.
All right. It's okay. Blood is okay. We can deal with a little blood. It's not going to kill anyone.
Yeah, it's not going to kill you. I mean, the Cena thing was a lot of blood, actually, but it worked.
Yeah.
That was epic.
But, yeah, that was epic. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I liked Raw. It was a pretty average show. It got what it needed to done. But, yeah, I mean, I can't say too much bad about it.
Yeah, it
was... Right?
Yeah, and your connection is terrible at the moment.
Yeah. I dropped. Let me restart.
Yeah, so if Jackie does that... We'll take the break. You know, this is what we do on the rack. Coming up later in the show, we will talk... I don't know. We got a lot to talk about, don't we, Lindsay?
Yes, we do. We have a ton to talk about.
Take us out, then.
All right. You are listening to The Rack here on Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Lindsay. That's Rock. And Jackie's currently rebooting, but we'll be right back.
Everybody's talking all this stuff about me. Now, now, don't just let me live. Oh, I have a mission, make my own decisions. That's my prerogative.
They say I'm crazy. I really don't care. That's my prerogative. They say I'm nasty. But I don't give a damn. Getting girls is how I live. Some ask me questions. Why am I so real? But they don't understand me. Or really don't know the deal about a brother. Trying hard to make it right. Not long ago, before I win this fight.
Everybody's talking all this stuff about me. Why?
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Can't brush them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kinda weird. You always sing everything you say?
Now, don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Hey, fuck you. Hold on, let's count them up. It's Ross, one. Fuck you. Will, that's two. Fuck you. Tim, fuck you. Omega, fuck you. Lindsay, fuck you. Jackie, fuck you. And Subway, fuck you.
Really fucked. Can I now have our kittens and give one to Jackie, please?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you.
It's basically descended into like a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast.
Like all of a sudden it popped up and here's the whole gang and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega as he is... One told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
I was going to say, you know, tell Jackie to go, but then she dies, so welcome back to the
brand. Right, I was just going to ask you, do I need to bring his back, or what do you want me to do?
I was like, I have it typed there, ready to hit go, and she's no longer there, and now she's back. It's the Wreck, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wreck's in effect, right?
Yeah, it's Wreck's in effect, as your connection's in some sort of mess, but anyway.
Yeah, sorry, do I still sound bad?
We'll deal for now. But anyway, yeah, that's Jackie and Lindsay. This is their show. It's The Rack. And that's Rex and FX. Yes.
That's Rump Shaker. I remember that song, too.
1992.
Starting to feel old.
Oh, don't you worry. I keep watching TNA Impact, and I go, oh, their 10-year anniversary is coming up. Yeah, 10 years ago, I graduated high school the same day TNA started. I feel old. Really old.
I graduated high school 12 years ago, so quit your bitching. I'm going to be 30 in May, okay? 30!
30!
That's mind-blowing.
So it means, do we have to roast you on your birthday?
If you feel so inclined, yes.
No, we won't do that. It's not as much fun. We got to get Omega first.
Yeah, do Omega. You can get me next year. I haven't been on the network long enough to technically qualify for a roast, have I?
Well, we can consider your hiatus part of your time. I don't know. Been around
my hiatus?
You've been around on the internet. You know, I don't know. Let's see this.
God
one.
Damn it.
It's going to be one of those shows, Jackie's Internet Dies. We'll play
I
game.
Would just like to say, just start off by saying that if we're going to roast anyone on their birthday, technically, since she's been a part of the network longer, I think we should roast Lindsay first.
No, we're going to roast Omega. That's the plan.
I've been a fan of the network, but Omega's been a part of the network longer.
Yeah.
See, okay. I didn't... Back when... Way back in the day, we were all fans in a chat room, and then Rock and Omega got on the network, and I was still a fan in the chat room. And by that point, I think I had started taking my hiatus, and so, yeah, this is my first venture into the world of wrestling radio. God help us all.
God help us all, because we hear the squeeze. Everyone's learning who you are. They're learning insights into the world of Lindsay Ward.
But I have no life.
Oh, don't you say that. You have plenty of a life.
Yeah, but if you want to follow my witty, bitchy insights, you can follow me at Linz Ward, LINSWARD, at Twitter.
They're awesome. We have some great conversations on Twitter.
We do.
We do.
And when I actually manage to watch Impact, I do tweet about it.
But something we're all going to watch is Extreme Rules coming up in a couple weeks. Isn't that right, Jackie?
That's right. I am very much looking forward to that. Of course, I mean, for the obvious reason, my man will be wrestling. But I'm actually interested to see how this first match between Cena and Brock will play out, too.
Right. And I know Lindsay has the same views on this as I do. Not so Extreme Rules.
I'm interested to see the pay-per-view based on the matches that they're booking, just because for once Extreme Rules is the main event, at least, is a departure from WrestleMania. I mean, traditionally Extreme Rules or the pay-per-view after WrestleMania is always basically the rehash of WrestleMania.
Which is everything else on the card.
Which is everything else on the card, essentially, but at least the main event is different, which is nice.
Right.
And I understand why they had to make the main event different, because they're not going to bring The Rock back for Extreme Rules. But, you know, at least they didn't, you know, just say, oh, fuck it, we'll throw Cena in a, you know, Fatal 4-Way or something like that for the title.
They've done that.
They've done that. So it's nice to see that they actually went a different way with the show and with at least the main event. I'm interested to see the main event. But yeah, I have to agree with you. They could be a little bit more creative in the stipulation. So far, all three matches essentially have the same steps, which is no count out, no DQ, false count anywhere. They're just being called different things. So it's, yeah, you could come up with a different step.
They did. They gave you 2 out of 3 falls. That's...
Which matches are 2 out of 3 falls?
Daniel Bryan
and Sheamus.
Yeah.
Okay.
That gets
two of the three have the same step.
No, 3 of the 4, because they've officially, I believe they officially announced Kane and Randy Orton.
Is that a no DQ as well?
That's false count anywhere.
Same thing.
What is it with Kane and people's fathers? First his father got kidnapped, and now he's beating up Randy Orton's dad, don't you?
He has daddy issues.
I'm not gonna go there.
He does! I could talk about the fact that why does Kane keep reuniting with a father that either fucks him over or is abusive to him? I mean, seriously. But we could get into that later. That's another conversation.
That's another conversation.
He seems to me, too. Just saying.
But, yeah, it's like, okay, they gave, you know, this match is gonna be false count anywhere. This is no DQ. This is Extreme Rules. It's like, I guess they're saving everything for June?
Well, also, I mean, just to point out, granted they've gotten better about this lately, but there's not a whole lot that really draws my attention about a Extreme Rules pay-per-view in a PG company.
But they could do, which we're going to get into in a moment, they could have done like a steel cage match.
No, that would be the way out.
Except nobody gives a crap about a steel cage match.
That's
really.
get there. Yeah, but they don't give a crap about steel cage match. But, you know, a couple weeks ago when we first heard about Extreme Rules, me and Lindsay sat and we're looking through gimmick matches, and we're like, what could they possibly do for Jericho and Punk? We thought, okay, strap match. Then we find out, oh, there's no way out. They're going to probably use that for that. But we also thought maybe a last man standing match.
Yeah, I know.
The Rumble, though.
So it's like they could come up with something.
Well, here's the thing, and I know we said we would put this in if we later, but Jericho gave an interview with an award show where he said he was going to be done by SummerSlam. So June or July, Jericho's out of there. So
well,
the question is, will he be there for No Way Out, and can they stretch it to No Way Out?
Well, here's a question. Just knowing the ego involved here, the egos between, you know, the ego of Jericho and the ego of Punk, and both of them believing they're best in the world, it's extremely cliche no matter who it is. But because it's these two, I think a submission match should be really interesting.
That would be a good one, yeah.
The pain cost to the ego for having to give up would be worse than any physical pain that either could inflict on the other for the Anaconda Vice or the Lion, or not the Lion Tamer.
I will top you and go, I quit match.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, either way. I mean, if one has to submit in one form or the other, one form or the other to the other person, God, these two would rather kill themselves. So with that particular kind of match between these two, as cliche as both of them are, really, applied correctly, even the most cliche match can be interesting.
Right. Yeah.
I have no doubt these matches will be good, but it's basically you're just going, all the matches are basically going to be the same thing, and if you're buying this pay-per-view, because a lot of people bought WrestleMania and go, three, four weeks later, go, what am I buying Extreme Rules for? Brock Lesnar? Yes. To see gimmick matches?
Especially when they don't mean a whole lot anymore.
Right.
I mean, well, these matches used to be... Oh, I'm sorry, Lindsay, go ahead.
I was going to say certain ones don't mean anything anymore. I think certain ones do, and then there are ones that today's culture I don't think have seen in the WWE, or they haven't seen in a long enough time that they're kind of forgotten about. We were looking through, I actually looked it up on Wikipedia when we were talking about this, and I was going through all the different gimmick matches. It's just like, God, there's so many here. Wow.
Well, if there's anything that WWE has not mowed face first into the ground with a gimmick pay-per-view because someone couldn't think of anything better, let's give it a try.
And this is where one of our topic questions for the night comes from, is have we lost the art of the important gimmick match? Has that been lost in pro wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah.
When
it really has.
When matches that used to be gimmick, feud enders, when matches that used to be the last draw between two men who just hated each other so much that the only way that they could end their feud was a steel cage match or a strap match or, you know, oh God, just about any kind of match, gimmicky match you could think of. When that has been turned into a routine, it's going to lose its value. And I'm very relieved to hear that there are some kind of gimmick matches that WWE has not basically made commonplace, but for some reason they don't seem to know how to implement certain things, so yeah, give them some time.
Well, I mean, I remember just speaking of Mania and bringing that up, how many people freaked out for Hell in a Cell and the fact that it was actually being used for what it was meant to be used for, which is, it's a feud ender. It's the end-all, be-all of a feud, where it's two guys who are really ready to kill each other, really ready to go at it, and they need something to either contain the match or keep someone out, keep someone in, what have you.
you go to basically that last resort where it's, you have pushed me to this point that I feel I need insert gimmick to beat you or to have this to be a part of the match. I mean, it's like one thing I was talking to Rock about was, when was the last time we saw a strap match? Outside of, you know, the Raw Roulette, whenever they're in Vegas. When was the last time we saw an I Quit match?
A
submission match.
A meaningful I Quit match. A meaningful submission match. Not something they just go, let's have this match. You used to build to these type of matches. And
yeah, and they used to mean something. It's like, I get that they, you know, they feel that the gimmick matches, you know, as far as the gimmick pay-per-views, they draw more, which to a certain extent, I guess they do. And one thing that I've been reminding myself a lot of lately is that, you know, WWE does not look at their product as a wrestling product. You can argue that with me all you want, but they've said on multiple occasions, they're not a wrestling company. They're an entertainment company, and they're booking this as entertainment, not wrestling. They were booking this as wrestling. I'm kind of convinced that then the gimmick pay-per-views wouldn't necessarily be around. Because if you notice, at least just to give the comparison for what I'm seeing, TNA doesn't do, I think, steel cage matches outside of Lockdown, do they?
Oh, they do all the time.
Oh, they do all the time? Well, crap, they're just fine.
I'm going to kill your theory right there. They're the ones who killed the ladder match. They would just have a random four-man X Division match for a contract on a pole or something. They would just throw out random, you know, things like that.
Well,
God damn you, TNA, for killing the ladder match.
It's better than a dildo on a pole. That's, I mean, it's just to kind of go through professional wrestling match types just because, yeah, I've bored it on Wikipedia. You know, it's, here's an interesting one, scaffold matches. They were big in the 70s.
Yeah.
Scaffold matches?
Scaffold matches.
Yeah, they did them in ECW as well. If I remember correctly.
Let's see.
Yeah,
as
if you know what a scaffold match is, it's you hang it, you know, above the ring on a scaffold, and then the way to lose is to knock your opponent off. We're gonna play a drinking game. If anyone's drinking out there, every time Jackie drops, you take a shot. So this would be like number 5.
Now, here's something interesting, and I know that they would probably never do it again, but the Boiler Room Brawl, and I know that was only for Mankind, or Parking Lot Brawl, just because I'm looking through this.
Boiler Room Brawl.
Was a great one, though.
Yeah, and then they kind of ruined it a little bit, but it's... in this day and age, you see, here's another thing that they don't do. You don't get the sense of a backstage environment like you used to before.
But I think that's what would make it kind of unique and different and interesting is to do a match like that where you start it in the back, like say, to go take it out of the Boiler Room, a parking lot brawl, where they start in the parking lot or they start in, you know, say, for example, Punk Jericho is a Chicago street fight. So you start the fight, you start the match out in the street by the arena, and you have them fight their way into the arena, through the backstage, and out to the ring.
Have them come through the crowd.
Have them come through the crowd, and you get that same feel where it's unique, where you see them fighting, you know, through the locker rooms and out into the crowd and then out in the back. Because I remember a lot of matches back in the day, at least when I started watching, involved the backstage. I mean, I remember, I forget which WrestleMania it is. I think it's X7 with the hardcore match between Kane, Big Show, and Raven.
Oh, that was epic.
Where, you know, 90% of it is backstage. And it involves
cart.
A golf cart, which is hilarious. But, you know, 90% of it is backstage, and you see them going through the whole backstage area where they're breaking shit left and right, windows, doors, walls, you know, you name it. It's broken. And just to kind of have that same environment. But do it, just bring that back and not have it all take place in the ring.
Think about Brock and Cena in a parking lot.
That would be good.
give that real gritty feel. You know, they just want to beat the living hell out of each other. I think that could work at some point if they want to go back down that road. But
I would say if they weren't going to have Cena and Brock fighting so soon and they were going to stretch this to the next pay-per-view, absolutely. Where you just have them trading insults back and forth and keep trading punches and insults to the point that they just get pissed off. And don't even announce it. It could be even an unsanctioned match.
Right.
Where it's just two of them show up, crazy random happenstance, in quotations. They show up, they're both in the parking lot, nobody else is around. You could even have somebody out there with a handheld shooting it if you wanted, because you could do this, you know, you could shoot that anytime you wanted, really. And just have them start beating the holy living fuck out of each other. And then they fight their way through the back. They try to break them up. They break free. They continue to fight through the back. Again, it gets broken up. They break free. They fight through the crowd. They spill out, and they finally get to the ring, and then they just beat the holy hell out of each other in the ring, and maybe it's a no contest kind of deal.
Right, and let me play Booker a little bit. Here's how I would open Monday Night Raw. John Cena wants to get his hands on Brock Lesnar. John Cena's waiting in the parking lot for Brock Lesnar to show up. Brock Lesnar arrives to start off the show. They just beat the living hell out of each other before security gets in there. And then you have this atmosphere, like, they have a contract, because they're doing contract signing later in the night. You have this atmosphere where you have all the wrestlers in the ring standing between them for the contract signing. Get all the security you want, keeping them apart. Because you can't have the two of them do the normal WWE contract signing, go, oh, we're going to sign the paper, and then someone's going to go through the table. They just want to beat the hell out of each other. Last time they were in a ring together, you had 30 wrestlers trying to pull them apart. You gotta bring that atmosphere back for Monday, I believe. I know that was a tangent off what we were talking about, but yeah.
And that would be great. That would absolutely be great. And, you know, that would have almost been a better way to name that match between Brock Cena. I think they shot their load a little bit early on that to name it so soon.
But that
would have been a great way to make that match.
And the way they named it was like, oh, they're having a match. They announced the match before the big brawl.
Yeah, it's the way they should have done that, honestly, is either done it after the brawl or you have that big confrontation, like you were saying, where Cena's waiting for Brock in the parking lot, and they've been exchanging insults and punches and everything else, and they finally get to just beat the crap out of each other, and you have Laurinaitis, you know, walk out and say, I'm tired, enough of this, you know, you two are just being animals about this. If you want to go, fine, I'll let you go, but you got to wait till Extreme Rules, where you have an insert stip match, and you can't touch till then.
Right. It made more sense, but that's WWE booking, and that's tangent off of what we're really going for. Sorry about that. But bringing it back, because the legitimate part of it is, like, you go, you want to see people beat the living hell out of each other, you want to see them want to tear each other apart, and you want to see that type of match that goes, okay, I want to see them do that. It's beyond wrestling. It's like, there are some really great matches in the history of this business, sport, whatever you want to call it. This entertainment thing we like to watch every Monday, Friday, Thursdays, Sundays, sometimes Tuesdays. Never Wednesdays. Why is that?
Okay. There's nothing on Wednesdays.
No, there's nothing on Wednesdays. I don't think there's ever been a show on Wednesday.
It's the one night off everybody gets.
It's the one night off. But yeah, it's like, let me ask you too, what are some of your favorite gimmick matches?
Storm Harris, the Texas Death Match.
Oh, wow.
That was fucking epic.
Boiler Room Brawl was one of my favorites. The Gold Dust Roddy Piper Backlot Brawl was great because they brought in other types and they were running video during the match of the O.J. Simpson thing. It was just hilarious.
I remember that. That was cheesy but funny.
I would have to say any of the Acolytes Barroom Brawls.
Barroom Brawls are good.
And
you can always go classic TLC. The Edge, Christian, Dudley's, and Hardy's. Go even older. You have Shawn, Razor in the ladder match. go rock.
Basket matches were great.
You go
rock. The old school ones were great.
The old school Undertaker Yoko in a casket match.
Yeah.
Rock Mick, I quit.
Rock Mick, Sunday Night Heat, Super Bowl thing, whatever, the empty arena
match.
Halftime Heat, that's the name of what I was trying to think of. Halftime Heat during the Super Bowl. The halftime show everyone cared about. The WWE title match in 1999. The empty arena match. Stuff like that. It's like, you want to see more of that. You want to see more of it mean something.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
They did the empty arena match because that's where it led to. They did the I Quit, and then they still wanted to beat the living hell out of each other, and no one was safe. So they got everyone out there.
Yeah, I mean, just
go.
The build around those matches made more sense, and I think it's more that's when they were booking it as wrestling. That's
yep.
when they were looking at it as a wrestling product, and again, not as an entertainment product, because the writers that they have now, I think short of Kevin Eck, none of them are actual wrestling writers. They're
just
all
saying,
from
thank you.
Outside the WWE and outside the business. So they're booking this as a entertainment, and so the writers, and a lot of this also falls on Stephanie McMahon and Vince McMahon, you know, they understand the importance of a gimmick match. And Vince does have final say. So it could be Vince that says, okay, well, we've got this match. Let's throw this gimmick in there. Because the writers may not necessarily know the importance of a gimmick match or that they could even use a gimmick match. And I think that's maybe they took the lazy way out for that, and that's why we now have the gimmick pay-per-views, is it's, okay, well, we're just going to have an all hell in the cell pay-per-view. We're going to have an all elimination chamber pay-per-view, and we'll just structure the storylines to build up to that.
And that's the thing. That's where they've done wrong. Where they have done a bad job at with it is they're not. They're just throwing people in the cell for it. They want to do gimmick pay-per-view match pay-per-views. I'm all for it. I'm all for gimmick match pay-per-views. Just have the matches you're going to put in there.
Mean something.
Have them need the gimmick.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, though, Lindsay, because that's been my biggest gripe about WWE as far as creative is concerned, is that I understand the need to have some people who have experience writing television as it is a sports entertainment product. But I'm seriously thinking they need to stop calling it sports entertainment and calling it entertainment sports, because the entertainment thing is clearly more important. Instead of having people who know wrestling with a few writers who know television, they have all television writers with a few people who know wrestling. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. I mean, I agree with Lindsay 100% when she says it's a sport entertainment show, but they keep forgetting about the sport element. Not only do you have to have good storylines, but you have to make people want to watch the sport part, too. Otherwise, you might as well get rid of the ring entirely. I mean, what's the fucking point?
I think if they could get away with that, they probably would. I really honestly do at this point. It's if they could get away from the quote-unquote wrestling aspect of it, because I've always kind of looked at it as, especially now, it's a male soap opera with tights. Where they occasionally fight. I'm sorry. That's the way they book it. That's the way they treat it. And if they could get rid of the ring and get rid of all the sets and just have it be the soap opera part of it, I think they would be perfectly happy. At least from a writing standpoint, because that's kind of how they write it. Because if you look at it, you know, a lot of the feuds don't have much meaning to them. It's person A versus person B. We're going to fight because, oh, well, I guess I don't like you this week.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of how I've seen it, and what I was going to say earlier was, I remember when I first started watching, and this was only, you know, 12 years ago, but when they pulled out the Hell in the Cell, or they pulled out a steel cage, or if there was some kind of stipulation, it was a big deal. Same thing as like when they created the Elimination Chamber. They created the Elimination Chamber because you had six guys that wanted to rip each other apart for the title. And the only way to contain them was in that chamber, in those pods, to decide a winner.
Yeah, and they should have told Sean, don't wear brown tights. Just saying.
They should have told Sean about the Shawn Michaels hatch sooner.
Oh, God. My internet cuts. The first thing I hear is that.
No, when Shawn came up, I think it was in 2010, when Shawn Michaels screwed Taker out of the title. Mm-hmm. In the Elimination Chamber, he came up through that special little hatch in the chamber. Somebody should have told him about that years ago. It would have done him some good.
No kidding. But yeah, even that, it's like it built to something. It was, that's where what they got to get back to, and that's what they did with Hunter and Taker at WrestleMania. They built to the gimmick match.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And it totally worked.
Right, and I hope, this is just me hoping, maybe the reason they're not going all out with extreme matches is they want to save the gimmick match, in a way. They want to build, they don't want to use up the regular gimmick matches, and they want to actually build up to the actual good gimmick matches, or they're just saving them for June. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to do that, why not flop the pay-per-views? Why not have No Way Out after WrestleMania and have Extreme Rules in June, where you could have No Way Out feature more submission-style matches. And then you have Extreme Rules be the more, your strap matches, your cage matches, your falls count anywhere, you know, 2 out of 3 falls, first blood, mm-hmm. whatever. You know, those matches, your more violent series, whereas No Way Out is just, you know, either submission only or I quit or something like that. You know, throw in the towel, whatever.
Throw in a towel. I remember back in 94, was it? Brett and Bob Backlund, you the drama they built over a towel.
Yeah.
What was Brett's mom's name? Tam.
Helen.
Yeah, Helen Hart. When she was, the drama on her face and his dad and Brett's dad Stu, the drama not throwing it in. Owen begging them to throw it in. The tears rolling down his eyes. That was drama. That was entertainment.
I would suggest someone from Conan or whatever bullshit show they come from is not going to know this.
Well, it's not that they may not know it. It's that it's not encouraged that they know it.
We're not going to get it out of them. You know, I mean, and you're right, either way. Because someone with more experience writing wrestling could come up and teach them that, but no one's going to.
But it, you don't even need to go that far back. You just look back at Shawn and Flair a few years ago, and you got to build it. The wrestlers themselves have to learn to sell the drama in the ring to make it matter. If they believe in the gimmick, we will believe in the gimmick.
Yeah, and I think that's part of where the blame lies. I don't think the blame lies entirely with creative. You have to put some of it with the guys and the girls where there's no believability or there's very little believability in the matches, in the feuds, because there's no drama to them. I think everybody was positively hypnotized by Triple H Taker both times. Just by the amount of drama and emphasis that was put in the feud and how much this meant. You know, even though it's over the streak, which is, you know, in just normal reality logical terms, pretty insignificant. But the fact that they built the entire feud around that, and this year, you know, Taker coming back for blood because he felt that he lost, because he had to be carted out. Just the whole drama surrounding that. Whereas, to take another example, Cena Rock, which had a pretty decent build to it, it didn't have the same drama. It didn't have the same emphasis that Taker Trips had or even Punk Jericho had. And Punk Jericho, I think, has more drama now than it did for Mania. That's why I'm saying, God, I wish they had done this leading up to Mania. I wish they had taken, you know, from the Rumble when they were going to bring Jericho back or whenever they did the bullshit skits and had Jericho run around like a dumbass for 3 weeks, have Punk and Jericho build this entire time before Mania. That would have been so much better. But, you know, what we're getting now, I will take, because it's great. It's fantastic TV, it's fantastic drama, and it's working.
I would agree with you there.
And it's just, but yeah, it's, you know, you look at, you know, Kane Orton. Kane Orton could have some good drama. And they're starting to do that with Kane taking out Bob Orton and Randy Orton on SmackDown. They're starting to give it drama, they're starting to give it emphasis, but where the hell was this for Mania? Same thing with Sheamus Bryan. They didn't do anything with that, and they could have. It's just, I think they're just lacking the drama and the emphasis in the feuds. And I'm not sure how much of that falls on creative versus how much of that falls on the wrestlers.
I would say half and half.
Probably, yeah. Because I don't know who's scripted and who isn't. And I don't know who's booking their own feud versus how, you know, versus who's getting a creative feud.
Right. And to go modern day, if you look at what Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler do every single week, if we saw half of that on TV, think about how personal their feud would be.
Yeah, but neither of them are John Cena or Brock Lesnar.
But that would be a great way to build both of them.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that we were complaining about, or we were bemoaning, or whatever you want to call a couple, either, you know, I think before Mania, was the lack of stars. And the fact that WWE doesn't know who their next big star is, or they haven't built future stars. This is a great way to build two future stars. You have a natural feud set up for you right there between Ziggler and Ryder. It's right there. They've done all the hard work for you. You just got to put it on TV. That's it.
They got to get a microphone in Dolph Ziggler's hands more often.
They do. He's money on the mic. I don't know if you watch his show, WWE Download. He's hilarious.
He has that natural ability on the mic that's going to get him over in the business. And that's, he was the guy we were all saying a few months ago was on the rise. Now he's kind of
stalled
a little bit, but hopefully that's just a minor stall till they figure out his next direction and his next big feud. Because he's one guy who, if you get him into a legitimate feud, he can carry it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that once Jericho and Punk are done, if Punk still got the belt, to have Ziggler come in and kind of pick at the carcass and go for the belt. And take whatever Jericho has left.
He would be one guy I would like to see with the Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Because he could sell that like The Miz was selling it. He can be that guy who can sell it and promote it and make you believe, okay, he'll cash it in this night. He'll get in the people's faces. He has that ability.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ziggler at this point does not need Vicky.
No.
Ziggler, if you watch his promos on Ryder's show, if you watch him on the YouTube show, hell, if you watch him when they do the backstage rewinds, Ziggler does not need a manager. He's a natural on the mic, he's good on the mic, and he's got the skills for it. For fuck's sake, put the mic in his hand and let him do what he knows to do. Let him go out there and play this character, because he's got something there that you could push and you could really do something with. Mm-hmm. That you're not doing anything with right now. You're just kind of having him be your jobber guy. Or you're not even your jobber guy, but, you know, just your mid-card guy. Bring him up, bring him into that upper echelon, and make him a star.
He's a natural born star.
You know, Jackie was sending me the other, I think it was last week, all the WWE roundtables with the legends, and they're all sitting there talking, and one thing they were talking about was wrestling families, and they kept giving that emphasis of the quote-unquote it factor. Ziggler's got it.
Yep. Absolutely.
He's got the look, he's got the mic skills, and he's got the ring skills.
And yet they have him with a manager while Brock Lesnar doesn't have one. Really?
Brock Lesnar at this stage doesn't necessarily need a manager. he what they're doing with him as far as having him be the crass jackass, arrogant jackass, coming in or coming back to the WWE after however long he's been gone and going after Cena works. Now, back in 02 or 03, or even 04, when he was with Heyman, he needed Heyman. He needed Heyman to help get him over. Brock doesn't need help getting over now. He's over.
He's over. And even when Brock wasn't with Heyman, Heyman was the on the other side of him. He was still putting him over even when feuding with Heyman. So it's like he had that. He had him to get him over. Then they don't. If they want Brock to cut the 10-minute in-ring promo, never going to happen.
No.
But if they keep him short and do these UFC style promos, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, and what's kind of interesting, and I know we're getting ready to go to break here in a minute, but I'd just like to say this, is as much as people, and that's all of us, shit on The Rock for turning his back on the business, I'm surprised that same backlash has not come at Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar took a king-size shit on the business, and he has for 9 years.
Yeah,
or however
that's
long
very
he's been
true.
Gone. And, you know, now it's, oh, look, Brock's back. Yay! So it's kind of interesting that Brock has received little to no backlash, whereas The Rock's received quite a bit. And I don't know if that...
My guess would be that Brock Lesnar went on to something else that kind of helped solidify him as a badass, while The Rock has been making movies. And they're probably too afraid of Brock Lesnar.
Well, that's what I was going to say, you know, because Brock did a parallel sport in UFC where it's basically the legit thing of what WWE tries to do.
What they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, does that kind of sort of lessen the blow, the fact that he took a shit on the company that made him, but yeah, he went to UFC and he made himself an even bigger star?
I honestly think that's what it is. I think going around and making Disney movies doesn't quite have quite the power, the manpower that UFC does.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
I'm going to steal that question and use that Sunday. I want to get Omega and Tim's reaction to that, because that's a really good question.
Yeah, because you know Tim's not listening.
No, but I'm going to steal that question for Sunday. So we'll get more responses on Sunday about that question, because that's a good one. That's a good fancy dancy round table.
You're not going to play the intro, are you?
No, but I
was hoping
I will Sunday for it.
Oh.
Why, you want the fancy dancy round table?
I do.
Now?
To amuse us, please.
Oh, fine. Let me pull up the fancy dancy round table clip, all right?
Jeez. He's not listening.
I know, but it's like I wasn't prepared to go for the fancy dancy round table. Just making the reference. Here you go. Here's your fancy dancy round table.
This would be the round table. Fancy dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Well,
it's only funny because he hates it. Just saying.
Hi, Omega.
Even though you're not listening, I don't think.
I know he's not listening. I didn't get an IM.
He's probably too busy recording a video. Go to TJ Omega on YouTube and watch his videos.
Yes, but on that note...
Yeah, I think it's time to go to break. Hopefully my internet connection will hold up through the whole break. God damn it.
If we're playing the game, everyone should be like 10 shots in at this point.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there's a drinking game for how often my net crashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're up to like 10.
Yeah, someone's gonna be hammered by the end of the show. Well, I'm Jackie, that is Lindsay, and that is Rock, and this is The Rack. Please hang with us. We will be right back with more fascinating wrestling talk right after this. Thanks.
This is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh yeah, dig it!
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
I give two shits about My Little Pony, but that's a terrible way of keeping a collection.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Omega to say that.
Holy fuck.
I knew it.
Well, Omega can be into My Little Pony all he wants, you know.
Some hideous pastel pony gangbang. No secret that I do have a lot of Transformers. However, I am not so fucking creepy that I actually have the bed sheets too.
The question is Omega wearing the underoos as we speak?
Busted!
Gotta keep his bumblebees safe somehow.
You'll no longer refer to my dick and balls as bumblebee. I will have my balls have nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf.
There's a visual, Shia LaBeouf driving Bumblebee, and it turns out to be Omega's undercarriage.
No, just stop. Picturing that.
I'm not picturing it, I'm giving everybody else a visual.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
This is Alicia from WSU Wrestling, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up, man?
Hey, yo, what's up?
What's going on, yo? Sick and tired of 5-0 running up on the block, you know what I'm saying? Yo, so they came around looking for you the other day.
Word,
bust it.
Informer. You know, say that I'm a slow me, I go blam. I keep on bum down. Take the man that says, say that I'm a slow me, stand somewhere down the lane. I keep on bum down. Informer. You know, say that I'm a slow me, I go blam. I keep on bum down. Take the man that says, say that I'm a slow me, stand somewhere down the lane. I keep on bum down. These are the men who call me, now they blow down me door.
And welcome back. I guess I'm bringing us back.
Because we never share with Jackie's internet.
Jackie, are you there?
I'm sorry. Okay, so that guy was totally over until everyone found out he was white.
Can you name the artist?
Informer.
No, his name was Snow.
Whatever. He was awesome until he was white, and then he sucked.
The name of the song was Informer.
Whatever.
Can you actually sing the lyrics? Do you even know the lyrics?
No, I don't. I was one of those that didn't like him once I found out he was white, too, so.
He was a white
Canadian. God, that's so racist.
I mean, you could hate on him. You could hate on him because he was a Canadian.
Oh, God. You're poking the bear on our show.
The bear's not listening, and he was a Canadian reggae musician. His name was Snow.
He was white.
Was he a most intelligent Jew?
Speaking of racist, let's
hold on. She, you know, said that, and so because everyone can hear it.
I've now been educated by a Canadian Jew.
Now go ahead, Jackie.
Well, yeah, I think Lindsay makes a very valid point. I think it may be time for the sheet tweet of the week.
It's time for sheet tweet. Well, you don't want to have sex with you. I'm a most handsome boy that's too many in the world, and you don't want to have sex with me. Whoa, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna box your ass.
So, I have a special request to have two sheet tweets this week. I just could not choose between the two. There was just no way.
Well, then you go last.
Okay.
So we don't take. So just make sure we don't take yours.
Okay.
Lindsay should go first, I think.
Okay. Let's see. Virgil, make anybody name sound worse in the worst name in the world. I show you, Conway West is now the Virgil West, worst motherfucker forever. Team Sheiky.
This goes back to, you know, we were talking about Jews. Ask most intelligent Jew in the world at Scott Steiner if the TNA is the TN gay. At first, I didn't know Scott Steiner was a Jew.
Everyone's a Jew to him.
Neither of you took mine. Okay. I'm going to try very hard to get this out without laughing. Okay, the first one is not as bad. The first one says, Angelina Jolie, I see her, I make her cry and humble till new Africa baby come out of her new country way.
I almost took that one.
There was one right before that. I'm not going to be able to get through this one. Angelina Jolie deserved to get raped in the leg by the Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed by the Iron Sheik do not reflect those of the Wild Talk Radio.
Where the hell did he get this stuff from? I mean, last week, I think it was last week or the week before, it was Hulk Hogan. His you know, his public image gets better if he makes a sex tape for Charles Manson. And this week, Angelina Jolie deserves to get raped in her leg by Jesus Christ. It's like, oh my God.
She got engaged this week.
Oh, so maybe he's just jealous.
Yeah.
After 37 long years, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are engaged, everyone.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with not being married going into your 30s.
There's nothing wrong with not being married, period.
No, right. I'm just saying they were together for 37 years, it seems like.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's if they want to be not married and have a billion kids together, then what's wrong with that?
Right, they can afford it.
Now they can actually be whatever the combined name they are. Can't remember.
Brangelina.
Yeah. So that was our cheeky tweet.
And so I guess now this would make it time for me to choke and, you know, foreplay?
Yeah, with a fancy intro.
Just relax your throat muscles and everything will be fine.
Thank you. She picked it up exactly where I was going.
Here we go.
Ladies, it's time for you to slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
As now we get in the mood for some hot, steamy, and oh so exciting.
Come on, baby, give it to me, yes, yes, yes.
Foreplay.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Live on the rap.
Shall we shag now, or shall we shag later? Where am I?
Austin Powers win. Love it.
Yes.
So we got a little special intro for foreplay after all these very weeks.
Thank you, whoever was the boy.
Thank you, RadioDiet.com, for getting your website back together. So we start.
Not bitter about that at all.
No.
Mm-mm.
So we start with Jackie. What is one name you would be surprised to see released by WWE this year?
Surprised. John Cena.
All right, a realistic surprise.
Okay, honestly, Kelly Kelly. I'm not saying I want her to be released, but she embodies more of the entertainment than the sport, so I figure she'll be around a while. So if she were to get cleaned house, if they would get rid of her in the house, in the cleaning house, I'd be very surprised.
I'm going to get killed for this next one. I think. So, would it have made more sense, Lindsay, with the recent haircutting of a certain TNA World Champion, for them to actually have put this match together? James Storm versus Bobby Roode, hair versus hair.
Yeah, I could see that. It would have been made more sense if they updated his intro video.
I know, that's, yeah. It's like, oh look, he has long hair right there, but he's short and...
He has short hair, which means he showed up that day with it short, but they could have done hair versus hair.
But they would have had to have done it
earlier in that feud, because as well built as Storm Rude was, they built it for a lockdown. They built it for that steel cage. They built it for the gimmick.
Right.
And they did it right, so...
And they could have even done it afterwards. It's like...
Watch it there, Kane Kittens. You're going to get yourself in trouble with Lindsay. She'll kill you for that.
Yeah, dude. Not the week to hit that button. Just saying. So far, I have not ripped anybody's balls off, but you may be first.
I'm wearing a protective cup tonight, just in case.
Yeah, even I'm not going there.
Yeah, so, they could have done it on Impact, but again, it's kind of, that's an afterthought. I mean, it didn't need to happen, but they could have done it, yeah.
It would have made more sense for, you know, instead of just showing up, oh, look at me, I got new hair.
It would have, if they had explained it where Bobby Roode is like, you know, I've defeated James Storm, I'm now shedding my appearance, because he talked about his appearance, how the appearance has changed in his promo, so it would have made sense to have him say, you know, I have defeated James Storm, I am now forever shedding the image of beer money. And one of the ways that he sheds the image of beer money is he cuts his hair and maybe, I don't know, trims his beard or shaves his face or whatever. You know, just to permanently get rid of that link.
Right, and this is just a side note. Apparently this TNA lockdown weekend was grooming weekend for TNA wrestlers.
Yeah, because Kazarian also shaved his head. Why, I don't know, but Kazarian shaved his head.
And James Storm trimmed his beard, and...
Thank God.
They were all giving grooming tips. I don't know. I don't know who was behind that. But anyway, that's sidetracked. Just wanted to get that point out there, since we don't talk TNA anywhere on this network, so I figure we get that in right now on the TNA question. Because now we're going to make Jackie choke. Jackie,
yeah.
Give Kane's Chokeslam a creative name.
God damn it, Rock. Well, okay, just for the record, what's wrong with calling it a chokeslam?
A lot of moves have a different name to it, so give it a creative.
We're going
to
be here for a while, guys. Can I phone a friend?
No. No, you can't phone a friend.
I like the one it already has, Chokeslam from Hell. I still see what's wrong with that one.
You can phone a friend if you want.
Okay. Well, I can't call Kane, because he's not my friend. Lindsay?
Hell Driver?
We're going to call it a pile driver?
Hell.
Hell Driver.
Oh, Hell Driver. Okay.
Kind of backed your way out of that one. Jeez.
I did.
Man, where's Regis?
I think she has to answer my next question since I answered this one for her.
No, I want you to actually answer this one. What is your favorite Dick Clark memory?
My favorite Dick Clark memory? Oh, gosh. I would say the last time he showed up on the New Year's Eve special, either the last time he showed up on the New Year's Eve special or the first time he showed up after his stroke. Either one of those, just because it was such a special moment especially when he showed up after a stroke, which they may be the same thing.
Right.
But that was just such a special moment to see him again, because he's been out of the public eye. You know, once he had a stroke, he was out of the public eye, and then he's been out of it since due to obvious health reasons. By the way, rest in peace to Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of the sly way of mentioning that on the show tonight. So, yeah, that was a little bit of foreplay here on the rack for this, the... What is it? April 19th edition of the rack.
One more month, and it's the day of infamy, May 19th, the date we shall not speak.
May 19th! And everything's, like, happening on May 19th, apparently.
I know, especially if you're Lindy.
You're just going to leave me alone at work. What could possibly go wrong with that?
We've heard about what happens when they're with you at work and they break.
They crash servers, and they're supposed to be the ones teaching you.
Oh, I have faith in Lindsay. Everything will be fine.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
I'm sure. I hope everything will be fine.
If she can work for Delta, she can work for her university. It's not an issue.
Yeah. And no, I don't think it's anybody's birthday on May 19th, is it?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Rock and I are both in May, but neither one of us are on the 19th.
No, we're not the 19th. I'm a few days after that. And you're like a couple weeks before.
Yeah.
So as we awkwardly transition...
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's always awkward coming out of the foreplay. You know, the awkward moment after it all finishes.
Well, excuse me, speaking of May 19th, do we want to talk about ratings?
Let's talk about ratings.
They're down. Next.
Well, they're down, but I think one of the reasons is, you know, it's that we're looking at this is WWE has been trying now for a while to get a rating spike by bringing in The Rock, by bringing in Brock Lesnar, by doing certain things for shock value. And I guess one of the things that at least I'm curious about is in today's day and age, now that we are post-Attitude Era, post the Monday Night Wars, and we've been out of that for now for at least 10 years, can WWE achieve those same rating spikes and ratings pops that they could back in the Attitude Era? Especially with the IWC out there posting spoilers and people watching for, you know, leaking information to the dirt sheets and people finding information out and blasting it all over Twitter and Facebook. I mean, it seems like in wrestling, there are very few surprises anymore because it always gets out at least a week beforehand or the day of that what they're going to do.
Right. And there's a few, besides the internet and people being all too willing to, you know, to ruin whatever surprises WWE has planned, there's a few other things that I would suggest are causing WWE's ratings to not go up. First of all, there's a lot of things that could be said that are wrong with the WWE right now. There's a sorry ass women's division. Basically no tag team division, no cruiserweight division. There's arguably the wrestling on WWE, it could be said it's very square. It's one guy versus one guy all the time. There's very little, any kind of diversity or anything, or it's every once in a while it's one woman versus one woman, and there's a pretty good chance that either of them can work very well, or one woman will be carrying the pretty much the entire thing. So when you have no tag team division, no cruiserweight division, a shitty ass women's division, there's very little to watch. That's going to keep people from tuning in. Number two, one thing that's going on now that WWE, to the best of my knowledge, didn't have during the Attitude Era was the invention of the DVR. If you're thinking there's only one part of WWE Raw that you want to watch, but something else, you know, a two-hour show, and you want to see one thing, or there's something else going on in another channel, you're going to DVR it, and you're going to watch whatever else. They actually, and I don't know how the hell they do this, but they managed to find out who's watching delayed, which is the DVR, and who's watching it live.
Yeah, the cable companies can just, they can access the boxes and pull all the boxes and find that information out. That's not hard.
Right.
And I think the other point is WWE is also facing the fact that something they didn't have, you know, even 10 years ago was internet streams. For people like me, fuck you Comcast, who watch it on a delay, or watch it who are on a 3-hour delay because of my shitty-ass cable company, I watch it on an internet stream to get my wrestling. I'm that dedicated a fan, WWE, that I do watch your stuff on an internet stream because right. I want to see it with the rest of my friends so we can talk about it because I don't like watching it as I'm doing a Raw post-show.
Right, nice. Exactly.
Saying.
Monday is 11:30 p.m. Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Which I will be coming back the 30th of April.
Woohoo!
Thank God. Or going back to what I said earlier about the DVR, again, because you have basically eliminated tag teams, women's wrestling, and cruiserweight wrestling, you've given them very little to want to tune in to see, if they're going to go do something else, like as you said, even if it's completely legit, on WWE.com, on WWE's YouTube channel, they have other options to watch the show. WWE has almost taken its product, the sport element of its product, and stripped it down to the bare minimum to justify calling it sports entertainment, and you're wondering why professional wrestling fans are not tuning in to watch it. And the writers are all writers of television shows.
Well, to make another point on that, you know, or actually a couple points, I should say. One is that WWE in recent years has made an effort to target a younger audience. I think it's like 5 to 12 or something like that, going PG, because kids buy merchandise. I think part of the problem with that is that, well, you know, it's actually kids' parents that buy the merchandise, and kids that are 5 to 12 are not going to be up at 9 to 11 and 8 to 10 respectively. Well, maybe on Fridays because it's not a school night, but at least on Mondays, just talking about Raw, parents aren't going to necessarily let their kids, especially 5-year-olds, stay up till 11 o'clock at night to watch Monday Night Raw. And for kids in school, the same thing applies. So I think it's a little silly on their part to try to target younger kids and expect them to watch when, especially on a school night, when they can't.
Right. Or they could go back to the Saturday morning live wire thing, or the Saturday morning TV show thing. Have Raw be what Raw is, and then have the watered down version on Saturday morning when kids that age are actually watching TV.
And that's probably what the WWE Network will be for.
Yeah. And also, Raw is, at least Raw and SmackDown, pretty much all their products, are very star-centric. They have gotten away from the divisions, and they are looking at having stars on. If you look at Monday Night Raw, it revolves around John Cena. It revolves around CM Punk. You know, when they do now that they're doing super shows, you have Punk, Cena, Orton, Bryan, all the bigger names on the shows, and it revolves around them. They have gotten away from the divisions. They have gotten away from the wrestling, again, because they're not a wrestling product anymore, and they are now focusing on stars. They are focusing on guys that are going to make the money through their merchandise. Because they're going to be out there in their shirts, you know, plugging their shit.
And that's one of the things that's so important, because because children have very, very short attention spans, that's why most Saturday morning TV shows are half an hour or an hour. So you could theoretically have Monday Night Raw with a good physical wrestling product in it, and then at 2 hours, and then have either a 1-hour or 30-minute wrestling program on Saturday morning for the kiddies when you do just show the big exciting part that keeps them interested, and all of your fans would be happy. Just saying, it worked the last time you did it.
Yeah, but they need a network that's willing to put them on the air for that period of time.
But can they... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Can they put on a wrestling product? I mean, we all saw the reaction to Punk Jericho and to Rock Cena even at Mania, where Punk and Jericho and Rock and Cena gave us more traditional styled wrestling matches. And they were panned.
I think to a certain extent there's some justification to the fact that the crowd had just been through Hell in a Cell after that. They were, you know, they were exhausted. I think maybe if that match had gone on before Hell in a Cell, maybe it would have gotten a better response. If that theory is correct and people panned it because they just are not used to those kind of professional wrestling matches, that's very telling to what the WWE fan base has become. Maybe under a certain amount of time, maybe the professional wrestling fans would come back. You know, if we actually put professional wrestling in WWE.
But do you, I mean, from a business standpoint at that point, do you go with what you have? Or do you try to bring back old fans? And, I mean, which is it? Do you try to maintain your current fan base and attract new fans, or do you try to bring back the old fans?
Well, it's... Going back to what you said, that the 5 to 12-year-olds are not awake at the time Raw is on, I think you could give these... Going back to when Livewire was on USA Network early Saturday morning, you could give them what they want on Saturday and then try to see if the professional wrestling fans will come back on Raw, SmackDown, whatever show.
But that's a huge gamble.
Right, but at this point, what they're doing arguably isn't working. You're going to keep pandering to an audience that at this point is really not coming through for you.
Well, I mean, one of the ways maybe you could adjust is you start adjusting for the parents or slightly older fan base, and maybe you still target your merch, which is where you're making your money, at your kids.
Right. I mean, the parents are going to buy little Jimmy a ticket and go see the live shows. Hopefully, and I say hopefully because it doesn't happen too often nowadays, but hopefully the parents are also monitoring the show to see what their kids are watching. So if the parent is going to be there watching the show with his son, then hell, give him something to give dad and mom something to see too. I mean, you believe it or not, it is actually the grown-ups, the adults that are making the money, that are buying the John Cena headbands and wristbands and t-shirts and necklaces and everything else. Maybe prompt them to want to buy something, you know? I mean, yeah, a parent will buy a t-shirt to shut their kid up, but they may also want to get one for themselves if you give them a reason to want to buy one.
Okay. Rock, did you have something you wanted to say?
I'm sitting here, I'm going through the numbers, because as we always hear, numbers never lie. The average rating in 2002 was 4.01. The average rating in 2011 was 3.21.
Hashtag just saying.
No, but if you go back and you look, because this is what I've been doing as you two have been discussing it, I've been looking through the average ratings for the previous years. In 2010, it was 3.28. But if you go all the way back to, like, let's say 2005, right? 2005 and that average rating. That was 3.81, but I think the year after that it was like a 3.2. So it's like, or the year before, because I was 3.9. But yeah, if you start in like 2007 and onward, the ratings start to go down, and you can see it's a trend. It's starting to become a trend that they're losing an audience. Either their audience is growing up, but then again, the landscape is growing for entertainment on television.
Yeah, I think another thing they haven't had to compete with in the past is 200 channels.
Right, and for years, the big deal between WWE was Monday Night Football. That's no longer their competition because they're not the sport. They, as we've talked about, they're the entertainment. And the History Channel is one of those channels that takes a huge chunk of their audience away at times.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. The History Channel years ago was just a channel. You know, it showed old stuff. It was the History Channel. Now they come out with original programming. Same with TLC. They're giving real original programming about 19 kids and coupons and things like that.
I think it's something for WWE to consider that you're being beaten out by 19 kids and coupons.
Well, I'm not saying they're actually being beaten out by those things. They're the two things I've seen on the TLC channel. Extreme couponing, flim a win. By the way,
he's obsessed with it, like I'm obsessed with Storage Wars. Tuesday nights on A&E.
I'm totally obsessed with extreme couponing.
God.
Did I tell you I saw one of those people in the store?
No.
I saw an extreme couponer in Target about a month ago, and dude, she was fucking scary. She had, like, the book and everything, and she just literally reached up and, like, put her arm to the back of the shelf and just swept everything she wanted off the shelf into her cart. I was like, dude! I guess I don't want some of that. Never mind.
But if you haven't seen the show, watch it once. You'll get addicted to it. I'm just saying.
I've watched it. It terrified me.
But aren't the people supposed to be listening to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio on Tuesday?
Yeah, you're supposed to. That's why you DVR the other shows and stuff. Okay. Or
if you're ADD like us, you can listen to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio and watch Extreme Couponing too.
Yes. Yeah, if you're as bad as me, you can play a video game at the same time.
It's called multitasking. It's,
Now, Brock, I get what you're saying, and I understand how, you know, having the multitude of channels would affect any one program. I'm sure not only WWE, but television across the board has been affected by that. But do you honestly believe that the drop in the ratings that WWE's had has enough in no way at all to do with the way they've been running things as of late?
No, because you still have your loyal fan base. And that's what you have right now. For all the years when wrestling was in the mainstream is when your ratings were higher. You got the fringe people checking the program out.
Right, but shouldn't that be what the goal is all the time, to always be bringing in fans? I mean, should the WWE be satisfied that the loyalists like us are always going to be there no matter what?
I'm not saying they're not trying to do that, but I'm saying wrestling is not in the mainstream anymore. It's fallen back a little bit. It's more of the fan. And the fan of wrestling is always going to watch wrestling. That's why a show like TNA Wrestling, everyone, you know, no matter who writes the show, how many bookers they go through, whatever, it still only has that same audience. Because at this point, wrestling is not the popular thing as it was 10, 15 years ago.
Okay, but what is it? But do you think it's only the fact that we now have 200 channels to watch is the sole, or at least the majority of the reason why as many people are not watching wrestling now, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it's not a wrestling product anymore? That the channels are the only reason why?
Channels have a lot to do with it, because
I know, but I'm asking if that's the only reason. What I'm asking you is, are you telling me that the fact that they're not hiring people who know anything about wrestling to write, the fact that they're only pushing one wrestler to get over on anybody, and they're relying on one person to pop their ratings, that this has, do you believe this has nothing to do with the fact that the ratings are going down?
What they need to do is
Can I get a yes or no answer on that?
Let me explain. I was explaining my point.
Okay.
So stop being aggressive. Calm down. Calm down. Don't need to be aggressive.
Go ahead.
Now what was I saying? All right. Okay. Channels have part of the reason. Another part is that they're not building characters. You're right. They're relying on just John Cena to get that audience. That's where they have to start. They have to start making new characters and getting them out beyond the WWE. When they put Sheamus out there, that's a start. When they put Chris Jericho out there, that's a start. They get CM Punk out there, that's a bigger start. The Miz, a start. If you get your names out there more in the mainstream audience, then you'll bring people back to the overall product. Right now, they only do that at certain times, and only a certain few people see that.
Yeah,
but my thing with that is, though, is that if you are trying to, if you're pushing these people out into the media. And by the way, you're pushing Sheamus, and I guess David Otunga has been doing a Stephanie McMahon and a Be a Star campaign, only to have them come and watch wrestling and have Jerry Lawler call Vicky Guerrero fat.
I'm talking about media.
But in general, that's one thing that they're doing. They've been sending Sheamus out of schools, which I find it to be hilarious. But if we're putting The Miz on this talk show, or we're putting CM Punk on this talk show, doing the weather on the news at this location, we're putting them out for the primary audience, the television audience, which is, you know, much more vast than the wrestling audience. If you're putting them out there and you're telling them, go watch these professional wrestlers on WWE, and then they sit down in front of Monday Night Raw and it's crap, and there's hardly any wrestling. And I mean, you know, you go to a John Cena match and it's Superman getting his ass beat for 45 minutes and then winning out of nowhere, getting the STF in and locking him in and then winning like that. Why should anyone who's sitting down and watching the WWE for the first time take that seriously when it's not, their advertising comes to these wrestlers, what they're getting, as Lindsay said, it's not a wrestling product.
Well, here's the thing. You're looking at it as a more traditional wrestling fan. For just the average person who turns on WWE, they're not going to know a wrist lock from a wristwatch. They're not going to know that this isn't wrestling necessarily. They're going to look at it and they're going to watch John Cena get his ass beat for 45 minutes and then he's going to get the STFU or whatever the fuck it's called. And he's going to get the win and everybody's going to go, yay, the good guy won. That's what the general public will see. For wrestling fans, yeah, we look at it and go, it's crap. Because we've seen it and we're used to it. But for somebody who has never seen it, for somebody who doesn't know dick about wrestling, they're going to look at it and go, oh, yay, the good guy won.
I would suggest that it's... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to give you more of an entertainment feel-good product than a wrestling product.
I would suggest
they want to bring in that general public.
I would suggest that if it was really that simple, then the numbers would not be as low as they are. Numbers, ratings go down for TV shows when people don't watch them, or less people watch them. WWE may have possibly whittled its audience down to the loyalists. And all of their attempts to put The Miz on TV, and to put Punk on TV, and to put Cena on TV, apparently it's not working.
But here's the counterpoint. As much as we're saying their audience is going down, they're still drawing 5 million people on a cable television network every Monday night.
Yeah, right, but it could be better. It's been better. It's not better now for a
reason. The highest point was 8 million, and that was the height of the Monday Night Wars. You had 8 million on one, 8 million on the other. When WCW died, you lost a half that audience to begin with and never got it back.
So if there were 8 million people watching then, and let's say we lost, if there was a $3 million or 3 million people difference between now and then, and let's say we lost half of the audience when WCW shut down, it's 6.5 million then. So there was 6.5 million then, 5 million now. We still lost 1.5 million people somewhere. I'm thinking that they're getting complacent. They're satisfied with what they have, and they're not making an effort anymore.
For the most part, over the last 5 years, I would say the audience was 5 to 5.5 million people, which it is. Usually, we sometimes get down to 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, 5 million people is nothing to shake out. I mean, there are people that they leave, and they leave for different reasons. I mean, there are people like you and I, who only watch for a select few guys. We only watch for, you know, really Taker, Kane, and then I have a few others I like that I watch for. I'm not a fan of the overall product. I'm a fan of individual people. I watch for individual people, and if they're not going to be there, I don't watch. There are fans like us that do that. There are fans who are fans of The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, of The Undertaker, of guys who are gone, who are no longer there, and have no interest in coming back because, guess what? My favorite guy isn't going to be there. Why should I watch? I mean, people have their reasons for leaving, and they have their reasons for not coming back.
I and would that say- could very possibly be because they're not pushing anyone else but John Cena. Their actions are causing this. I mean, you cannot just sit back and say X millions of people or X number of people are not watching the WWE product anymore, and it's not WWE's fault at all. They are, there may be one guy on top, but they're writing a product and putting it out. And if people are not watching it anymore, you cannot say it's not the WWE. You cannot say they have no blame for it.
They have blame in it, but it's not 100% their blame.
Oh, no, it's not, but they're not 100% away from it either.
I would agree with you that, you know, right after Vince bought WCW and maybe that 4 to 5 year period after that, no, they didn't try. They didn't give a crap. You lost people in that period because that was such a clusterfuck in that time that everybody looked at it. I mean, even I stopped watching in that period. I stopped watching because it was crap. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way they were booking it. They were writing it, the way it was being presented. I didn't like any of it. So I stopped watching. And then they brought me back. They started booking it better. They started writing it better. The program really did actually clean up a little bit. One of the things that I didn't like was the gratuitous sex that they were having on the show. And they toned it down. They brought it back. And they started writing it better, they started presenting it better, and they brought at least me back to the product. So it's, yes, I would agree with you that the way that it's written, the way that it's presented has a lot to do with it. But if you watch the product at any one time, they have multiple major stars, but they really only push one big guy at a time. Because that's really all they can do. You can't have competing guys. It's like for a long time it was Austin, then it was The Rock, then it was Triple H, then it was Brock Lesnar, John Cena, so on and so forth. Now they're looking for that next big name, that next big talent that they can push, and you're starting to actually see them start to push Cena down. Mm-hmm. They're bringing him back to a more human level. They've pushed him as far as they can go with him. They've recognized that. And now they're bringing him back down. They're bringing him back to Earth.
But why can't you have more than
human?
But why can't you have more than one big guy at a time? I mean, I was watching a video on YouTube the other day where we had the two-man power trip, Triple H and Austin, both very big names, going up against Kane and The Undertaker, Brothers Destruction, two other very big names. Why, I mean, this was a point in time when they were very popular where they did have huge tag team matches with four very big names going at it in one match. Why can't we have that again?
Because of the competing egos.
Well, that's WWE's problem to take care of. If they're really, really willing to let their numbers suffer for egos, that's arguably a very bad business decision. That means that Triple H is bigger than the business. Stone Cold is bigger than the business. There's always been egos. But the numbers still were high at one point.
And the numbers are still high. They're not as high as they used to be, and that brings up our next point. Can WWE even achieve the numbers that they did anymore? Is that possible in today's television landscape with so much competition, with internet feeds, DVRs, spoilers? Is it even possible to achieve that number anymore? I mean, back in the day, back when they were getting 8 million viewers, you didn't necessarily have spoilers unless Eric Bischoff gave the results of Monday Night Raw away on WCW.
Yeah,
you didn't have
bad juice, man.
You didn't have DVRs. If you missed it, you taped it. But during the Monday Night Wars, Rock and I had this conversation. You watched wrestling. You didn't miss it for anything. Because it was that good. It was that hot at the time that it's, you know, whatever you had to do, it waited. And you sat down and you watched it for those 2 hours, at least the hardcore fans. You know, now it's, oh, I can DVR it. I'm not going to miss anything. I'm going to watch, you know, another show, or I'm going to go out to dinner with my friends, or in my case, I'm going to go to school. You know, I can DVR it, or I can watch it online. I can watch it via stream, YouTube, Hulu. You know, there's any number of ways to see Raw, SmackDown, NXT, all their programming now that isn't necessarily on TV. It's like, it's more, if I miss it, I can find it 16 other different places and see it, or I can DVR it. Whereas during the Monday Night Wars, if you forgot to tape it, you were fucked.
If your VCR didn't work, you're like, fuck.
Yeah. And you had to watch the next show and figure out what the hell happened on Monday nights, you know, in the case of WWE. You either had to wait, I think SmackDown didn't come along till what, 2000?
99, I think it was.
I'm like, okay, 99. So prior to 99, you missed Raw. You had to wait a whole week. And then you had to figure out what the hell happened the week before.
Same one with Nitro. Till Thunder came along, you had to wait. You had to wait those 7 days. There was no internet. Even though some people like to claim they were doing an internet radio show back then on dial-up, there was still, you had no resource to get the information. You had to wait to see what was happening. There was no, the only thing you can go to was keyword WWF at that point on AOL.
AOL, yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the next question is, with all the different media now available to see it, are they even able to achieve ratings like they did in the Monday Night Wars? Are they able to achieve the viewership that they did in the Monday Night Wars?
It's very possible that, and I don't know this for sure, but if they add in, and this may be why Raw's ratings are so low, their televised ratings are so low, if there's any kind of ratings besides just viewership numbers for the shows on Hulu or the shows on WWE.com, if you add all of these elements together and make one rating out of it, maybe. But I don't think that would happen right now just because I don't think that many people are going to watch it. But if you take the numbers from Hulu, take the numbers from WWE.com, take the numbers from, you know, WWE Raw AM, from WWE Raw Monday Night, and you add all those numbers together to see in general or how many people watch the show through all the different mediums, maybe.
But here's another point I'm going to throw out there. The number we get is United States audience. World Wrestling Entertainment is a worldwide company. We don't see the number. The audience in general is still there, but it's not based in the U.S. anymore. It's a worldwide audience. We don't get the numbers from the United Kingdom or Canada or Australia or any other, you know, India or whatever. We don't get those numbers, and we don't know how big the audience is there.
Those numbers were not included during the Attitude Era or any other popular times, though, were they?
But they were never that big overseas back then.
Yeah,
but even if they were those numbers included in the final ratings?
No, but they were.
No.
It's always been the U.S. audience. They have expanded beyond the U.S. to get their audience, which is another thing when we look at a rating, and we see, oh, it's only 4 or 5 million people watching it. But then you got to include, because whenever they talk about it, they talk about they have 8, 9 million people watching their product every single week. And that's based, you include SmackDown, and you also include your worldwide audience.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind is I think part of it is the U.S. audience is so oversaturated with wrestling. There is, the supply is not meeting the demand, to put it in an economic standpoint. They have an overage, basically. You know, they don't have the audience in the U.S. like they used to, so they expanded to Europe, where they're huge, and South America and Asia. And if you notice, WWE is not necessarily targeting a U.S. audience anymore. They're targeting an international audience because that's where they're making their money. That's where they're getting their viewership, and that's who's buying, essentially giving them the money. If you notice, in the last, I would say, 5 years, just to give it a nice big round number, their international trips have expanded. They're going international now more than they ever have, and they're staying longer. Because they sell those shows out in a heartbeat, because the European fans will go, because they don't get it like we do. It's not like, you know, they come to, you know, Texas 5 times a year. They come to Salt Lake 2 times a year. It's not, they're in your city at least twice a year. average. You know, sometimes they only go some places once, but it's like they're in New York constantly, it seems like. They're in certain places constantly, so it's, we're not lacking for wrestling in the United States. In Europe, that's a different story. So I think they've more changed their target as well. To go back to what Rock was saying, where it's, they're not targeting the U.S. anymore, they're targeting Europe. Because that's where they're getting their money.
It still strikes me as a little strange, though, that they say, as Rock said, oh, we had 9 million viewers this week. And I guess what you were getting at, Rock, was that's including the international audience as well?
Yes, they have a huge international audience. And here, I'll throw a number at you. They recently told us 1.3 million buys for WrestleMania, which includes about 5 million people watched the show. But the number they don't tell you is the number is 60% North America and around 40% international. Back in the high point of the Attitude Era, your international pay-per-view numbers were never that high. It was 80-20, 90-10. The North America audience is decreasing, but your international audience is growing.
Okay, so having said that, let's just say, hypothetically, this week we had a 9 million viewership for Monday Night Raw. That's including the United States audience and the international audience. Back during the Attitude Era, they had 8 million viewers, U.S. only.
Right.
That means they've included the whole rest of the world, and they only gained 1 million viewers.
Because wrestling is not a big deal in North America anymore, as it once was.
Right, but that's what I'm getting at. There's an issue with the product itself. If you're bringing in the entire rest of the world now, and you only gained 1 million viewers compared to the amount of viewers you had on one continent 10, 15 years ago, just saying, you only gained 1 million viewers.
I don't think that's entirely the product's fault. WWE does not have the exposure in the United States like they did 10, 15 years ago. They don't have the advertising that they had. And again, a lot of that goes to the Monday Night Wars, where you had two companies feuding and it was extremely public. Now it's not so much. If you watch TV, like I'm sitting here right now watching HGTV, you don't see commercials for Raw, you don't see commercials for SmackDown. Now if you watch Sci-Fi, if you watch USA, yes, you do see advertising, but it's only on those channels. Rarely on the other 198 channels do you see an advertisement for Raw, do you see an advertisement for SmackDown.
They do not
have the exposure that they did 10, 15 years ago.
Right, and they were never big on the advertising, but it was all word of mouth. You had a huge fan base, and you don't know if it was 16 million people in total, but you were 16 million viewers, because there were a lot of people who watched both products. You have to factor that in as well. But there's a new generation of fans, and in all things, everything goes up and it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. They've leveled off. So, they have their audience. They have the 5 million people in the U.S. who watch their product. They have their international audience. They have, people who buy all their pay-per-views overseas. They have that audience still. WWE is not in trouble.
I don't know. I'm hearing all these changes that were made. Oh, they're hiring this kind of writer now, and they're doing this, this, and this. They're pushing one person. They're burying their talent, and the ratings are going down.
But they've always buried talent. They've always de-pushed people. It's been the same way for decades.
Right, but now, for some reason, the ratings are going down.
But
the ratings have been going down. That's the thing.
Exactly.
But they've been going down longer than recent. They've been going down since post-Attitude. They've been going down since post-Monday Night Wars.
Right. So why is it that people are just making excuses for the WWE instead of looking at what worked at one point and saying, maybe let's do that. Maybe let's have a tag division. Maybe let's have a workable women's division. Maybe let's do cruiserweights. Maybe let's have pay-per-views. Let's have the big five and then have ones that are $20 a month in between, because a struggling family of two parents who are making $40,000 a year combined with three kids can afford a $20 pay-per-view every month, as opposed to a $65 pay-per-view every month. It just seems, I'm hearing a lot of excuses for why nothing is their fault, when quite clearly, if they don't continue to do something, they better learn to be very happy having only the loyalists watching. Because I hold the WWE to a very high standard. I've been watching it for 21 years, and I don't want them to get complacent. I don't want them to be satisfied. I want this company to be the biggest thing on the planet Earth. If there's an issue with 200 channels, they better fix it. If there's an issue with only hiring bad writers, they better fire them.
I'm gonna throw in one point in right here. Pay-per-view, the cost of a pay-per-view is not WWE. That's the cable companies. They're the ones raising the prices, not WWE.
Yeah, they have no control.
So again,
over
we're
that.
Getting excuses. You mean to tell me that WWE has absolutely no control at all, zero control over the price of their pay-per-view?
No, they don't.
I don't buy it.
Look at UFC. They charge the same. They charge $55 for a pay-per-view every month.
And TNA charges $35. Apparently, as I've been told.
They're up to $40 at some points.
Yeah, it's not like WWE can go to a cable company and say this is how much you're going to charge for our pay-per-views and that's it. The company is going to look at WWE and be like, yeah, fuck you, fuck off.
But
I'm not saying
that. This is something
that
they do in their contract negotiations.
And again, if WWE says you're only going to charge $15 for our pay-per-views, and the company is going to take a bath on that, they're not going to go for it. They'll tell WWE to kiss off, and they'll bring in other business.
But still, again, WWE can do something in their contract negotiations. If Time Warner Cable, for example, is charging $100 per pay-per-view for a pay-per-view, and the WWE has an issue with it, it will come up in the contract negotiations. Comedy Central and, you know, and Time Warner had this exact same problem with advertising. They go in and they negotiate this stuff. So people were never going to be able to watch South Park on TV again as far as Time Warner Cable was concerned. These things can be negotiated.
But not to only to a certain degree.
But
again,
it can't be negotiated. Again, the WWE is not completely blameless.
And I'm not saying that they're blameless. What I'm saying is that a lot of this, though, they don't have control over. And to get to your point of what worked 15 years ago may not work now. They have completely changed the mindset of their audience. They have a completely different audience than what they had 10 years ago. And, you know, as far as they're concerned, they are fine with who's watching. Yeah, they'd love to bring in new people, but they're making money. And that's all they care about. That's what this is ultimately about. If Vince was interested in putting on a halfway decent wrestling product, they would put on a halfway decent wrestling product. But the fact of the matter is Vince wants to make money. And that's what Vince is trying to do, is make money. And do that the best way he knows how. Again, we're looking at this as wrestling fans, and it's not a wrestling company. It's an entertainment company, and they are there to make money. They are not there to put on a good wrestling show.
From an entertainment standpoint, you can still look at this and point fingers in creative direction. If you are someone, and I'm going to assume because Vince McMahon is Vince McMahon, he knows that there is a certain segment of his audience that wants to see a really good wrestling match. And to his credit, we get one every once in a while. We'll have your Takers and Triple H's or your Jerichos and your Punks. If you are trying to make a wrestling product, or if you're trying to make a ice skating product, you have to have some kind of an idea of what it is that your company, your fans of your company want to see.
They want to see John Cena.
It's a blatant and knowing and, in my opinion, self-destructive decision, which WWE, from a creative standpoint, being the ones who control the product that's on television, are 100% responsible for. If they chase away their audience and make the ratings go down, possibly even lower the amount of merchandise that's being sold, if they're not giving their audience what they want.
Okay, but they don't
even
give
from
a
creative standpoint.
But from a creative standpoint, they don't give a damn
Right, and again, that points the finger right back at them. You don't point it at the cable companies. You don't point it at Comcast, Time Warner, all of them. That finger is pointed directly at Vince and creative.
Right, because they're going to put on TV who makes the most money. They look at what we want as who's making money. And right now, John Cena, CM Punk are making money hand over fist in merchandise sales. Daniel Bryan's getting up there as well. Zack Ryder was up there. Rey Mysterio. All these guys who are making money hand over the fist or for the company, they look at that as that's what the fans want. That's what we want to see. Again, if they gave even a damn about the wrestling product, we would have a good wrestling product. But that's not what they're trying to give us. Again, you're looking at it from a traditional wrestling standpoint, whereas that's not what it is anymore.
Well, going back to my comparison, I could be looking at it as a wrestling fan, or I could be trying to build a product for people who watch ice skating. If I know that I have a group of people who are tuning in to watch ice skating, and I don't give them ice skating, and they don't watch, that's not Time Warner's fault, and that's not Comcast's fault. That's WWE's fault. And my understanding is, going back, it's great that WrestleMania did as well as it did, but I was reading some numbers within the last few months, and not all the pay-per-view buys have been that great.
Right.
The numbers are going down, and that's WWE's fault. That's not 200 Channels' fault. That's not Comcast's fault, Time Warner's fault. That's not TNA's fault. That's WWE's fault.
Because they do a terrible job of selling a pay-per-view. We all know this. We've talked. That's not news. Honestly,
yeah,
that's not news.
Again, that's not entirely their fault. There is, again, you have people watching on streams. You have people watching in bars. You have multiple people watching off of one feed. So one person gets the pay-per-view, gets access to it, and then you could have 1,000 people, give or take, watch. Right. And that's 1,000 buys, and that's a huge number, but that's 1,000 buys that they've lost.
That you didn't have 10 years ago.
Oh, very, very true. But how many times have you watched a pay-per-view and then come and listen to WTR and heard someone say, who did watch it on a stream, that pay-per-view was shit. I'm glad I didn't pay for it.
You hear that all the time, but guess what? If you look back at pay-per-views from the past, they were all the same. They gave you the same crappy matches.
And whose fault is that? Is that Time Warner Cable's fault?
That's WWE's fault, but that's been the way for 20 years.
Right, that's what I've been saying for the last 25 minutes. If the product is in decline, you don't do the WWE or professional wrestling fans any favors by putting the responsibility off on anyone else but the WWE. Time Warner's not going to improve the product, neither is Comcast, and nor is TNA.
But you're missing the point. 10-20 years ago, Los Barriquas versus the New Age Outlaws was on pay-per-view, and no one gave a damn. You were still getting shitty matches on pay-per-view. You were getting random matches thrown together in the 1998-1999 era, where they were just throwing people out there. Taka Michinoku was in pay-per-view matches. No one cared.
Okay. And so, again, back 10 years ago, if the WWE was not putting on a quality product, people were not watching.
And they were
And you
watching.
Could not blame Time Warner Cable or Comcast for that. You could only blame WWE for that. Now, all of a sudden, when WWE puts on a bad product, it is everyone else's fault but WWE's.
No one said it wasn't WWE's fault.
Okay, I've heard a lot of excuses. This is why WWE is not their fault, or partially not their fault, or this or that.
I've said this for the last 20 years, it's been the same way. I've ebbed and flows with the product. It's always been WWE. At the end of the day, it's WWE's responsibility. But if you look back at the greatest pay-per-views, and then you look at the one after it, it was shitty. You can look at the track record for every single year in wrestling. They've had shitty pay-per-views. They've had shitty television shows. Look back at some of the results from the mid-90s and late 90s of the things you were seeing on TV. Not all of it was great.
Okay,
it's the wrestling business.
Oh, I know that it's a business, but what I'm not getting is here now is when that happened back then, when the WWE product was bad back then, there was only one person that was blamed, And my concern is, ultimately, with all of this leading up to, my point is again, I hold the WWE to very high esteem. And my concern is if they're putting on a bad show and people aren't watching, and people start making excuses, it's not going to get any better.
They put on good shows and people still don't watch.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at it from your perspective of, it was a bad show. Where I can look at it from my perspective and it was a good show. Good or bad, people aren't going to watch. Again, 5 million viewers per week on average is nothing to drop a hat at or shake your head at. That they are still one of the highest rated regular television shows on cable right now.
I never said it was a bad show. I never once said I thought it was a bad show. But I'm not focusing on a specific episode of Monday Night Raw and saying it was bad. I'm looking at the bigger picture. Something
right,
is wrong.
So
numbers are going down.
And so am I. And good or bad, whatever it is, people are still going to watch and people aren't still going to watch. It's the nature of the business. It's, a personal choice. And it's, yes, it is WWE's responsibility to put on a decent show. But it's also our responsibilities as fans to decide whether we want to watch or not. If we decide, oh, I don't want to watch Raw this week, I don't want to watch SmackDown this week, we're not going to, and that's not WWE's fault.
So what's the difference between now and 10, 15 years ago when you didn't miss it for anything?
Technology.
The quality of the product. Yeah, but you could still say, on WWE.com, 15 million people watched it, so it was you can use the technology to your advantage. Instead, for some reason, it seems to be a takeaway.
Back then, there was no technology where you can go on Twitter, what's happening on Raw? Do I want to see it or do I not? You did not have that back then. You had to see it to find out what was happening.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But why is that necessarily a deterring factor? Instead of someone, it's being looked at as, okay, well, on Twitter, I saw this, so I'm not going to watch it. How about using that and saying, hey, I'm on Twitter and I'm seeing, oh my God, Brock Lesnar just showed up, so I'm going to go watch it. Everything seems to be taking away from the ratings, but for some reason, we don't seem to want to use this to add to it.
But people are still keeping up with the product, even though they're not watching the product. That's where technology helps it. People still know what's going on in wrestling, even if they're not watching it. Back then, you had to watch it to know what was going on. Now you don't have to watch it to keep up with the product.
But if somebody doesn't care enough to watch it, why would they care enough to read what it's about it? I mean, the whole thing is here is that they don't care.
Because you're still a fan, and if you don't have the time to sit and watch it now, you've grown up. The audience 10 years ago has grown up.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You and at least I do this. I know you write for Phil Strum and you have to watch SmackDown, but here's the thing. I look at the spoilers every Wednesday morning. I read what happens on SmackDown, and I make the determination of whether I want to watch it, and usually the answer is no, and usually I don't. I know what happened on SmackDown. I can tell you what happened on SmackDown. It's just like before the show Monday, I went out and found the spoilers for Raw. I actually had my write-up done an hour and a half before Raw ever aired. I watched it anyway just to make sure I could update it so I could give it to The Rock for the show. But otherwise, I would have sent the spoilers to Rock with some comments, and that would have been it.
Now, why is it that you didn't want to watch SmackDown?
There was nobody I wanted to see.
They put together a show that you considered the quality to be less than what you were willing to spend the time on for watching it.
No, there was nobody on the show I wanted to see.
Right, you didn't want to watch the show. You read the spoilers, and based on what was put, the product that was put out as what was going to be on the show, you decided that the time would be more valuable spent doing something else. But, and you're one of the most loyal WWE fans I know.
But no one, it's always been that way with a Friday show. Monday is the wrestling night.
I didn't want to watch Raw Monday either, but because I was fucking pissed off. But I did it anyway. I mean, WWE is not completely blameless, but WWE is not entirely to blame. Again, it falls on the fans as well.
Oh, absolutely, and I agree with you on that. There are certain technological issues that are different. I don't disagree with you on that. My thing is again, if we let them think, or if they think that we're going to say, oh, well, I understand that it's not your fault, you know, oh, the X thousand people streamed your pay-per-view, oh, so we understand, blah, blah, blah. There is no motivation on their part to improve what a lot of the complaints that a lot of people have about the product. Like you said, Vince McMahon cares about making money, ultimately. So if we can, he could either make more or he can make less. And if we just, if we're happy, just let them sail along. All the complaints that we have about WWE TV, tag team matches, no cruiserweight matches, the women's division being shit, none of this is ever going to change. Lindsay, you know, as well as I do, in a capitalist system, people like Vince McMahon respond to money. They respond to this kind of a thing. We can hold them responsible or we can baby them.
But as far as we, and when I say we, I mean the IWC is concerned, we are a minority in comparison to the fan base. Vince McMahon and the WWE don't give a flying fuck what we think.
When I say we, I mean wrestling fans. I'm not necessarily relegating it to only the internet wrestling community.
But the
I know
the
people who are not
fans,
part of the IWC that agree with everything we say, basically, that listen to the show.
Then they listen to the show. They're IWC.
No, they're not.
Yes.
No, they're not, because I know these people. Because I know at least three people that listen to the show. They watch wrestling, but don't spend a lot of time on the internet because they have to do it at work. They listen to the show only to support me. At least three people. And they agree with everything they say. Now, I know these three people are not going to make a big difference, but my suggestion would be that if these people agree with this, there's maybe a chance, maybe, that other people agree with them. Adults, whether they're on the internet or not, are going to have a view through their eyes as adults, and that's going to look at WWE and see a show mainly for kids, and they're not going to like it, whether they're on the internet or not.
But here's the thing. The average wrestling fan that is not on the internet, excluding the people listening to this show, talk with their wallets. They don't talk through the radio. They don't talk online. They don't use Twitter. They don't use Facebook. They talk with their wallets. And if, as so long as those people keep buying tickets to their shows, buying their merchandise, that's who Vince is going to target.
They also don't watch shows that they're not interested in. Ratings have been going down. That's
yes,
why we're all sitting here talking about
fucking horse to death.
Well, it's funny how, you know, when we're judging the WWE for bashing on CM Punk or bashing on The Miz or bashing on this particular person because they didn't get the ratings up, then all of a sudden, the fact that ratings are going down is something the WWE needs to be concerned about. They need to be watching about what's going on because CM Punk is our precious little man here, and you can't bash him. If the ratings are going down, it's not CM Punk's fault. So when we look at one individual person, it's okay to bring this up. But when we're looking at the fact that ratings are going down, and all of a sudden we're looking at the big picture and not the little picture of CM Punk, all of a sudden we're beating a dead horse. Either the ratings are an issue in general, or they're not.
We're beating a dead horse in general. Ratings, short of the advertisers, don't matter.
So why is it then that we have 20-minute conversations on WTR about how WWE is making a mistake for pinning the low ratings on CM Punk or The Miz or this person?
Because we're a bunch of fucking ninnies. The fans as a whole are becoming so goddamn critical that we think we're experts of the product when we're not. The fact of the matter is again, if Vince was halfway concerned with the ratings, we would be seeing changes. And maybe we are with the bringing in of The Rock, with the bringing in of Brock Lesnar, with the changes in the product that are now coming. They may be concerned. Again, we don't work for WWE. We're not in the office every day. We don't know what's going on. We can only look at what we see. And part of that is we also, as fans, don't necessarily give it a chance. It's, oh, the ratings didn't pop this one week. It's a failure. We don't give it enough time to do what it's going to do. We don't give it enough time to develop. We judge it before it's ever even off the ground. And it's not to take the blame off of WWE, but it seems like the only people that I'm hearing that care about the ratings are the fans, are the internet wrestling community, are people like us that talk about them for 20 minutes.
Well, I would suggest that if the WWE is pointing fingers about the reason for the ratings, there must be some instances where somebody there cares, if they care enough to blame Punk or Miz or whoever.
But right now, WWE isn't pointing fingers. We are.
Well, for this conversation, we are, yes. But this has been a conversation that's been had, even within the last 12 months. I'd say within the last 6 months. Punk got the title. The ratings didn't go up. It must be Punk's fault. When was it that Punk won the title in Chicago?
July, I think.
So, July, I mean, like 7-8 months.
But the blame has shifted. First it was Punk, then it was Miz, then it was Bryan. It shifts. And again, I'm not taking the blame off of WWE, but if they were so concerned with their ratings, we would be seeing major upheaval. And right now, I don't think there's too much concern, because, again, they are one of the highest rated shows, if not the highest rated show, on regular cable. And they are perfectly content with having their 5 million viewers every week.
I think that maybe, possibly, bringing in Lesnar was an attempt, again, to pop the ratings. The recognition of there is an issue with the ratings. I just don't understand, well, and this is just a Jackie question, why they didn't realize that doesn't work when it didn't work with The Rock.
It wasn't meant to pop the ratings. It was meant to bring star power to the program.
Yeah. They more brought Lesnar in because they went, oh, fuck. Triple H is gone. Rock is gone. Taker's gone. Shawn is gone after Mania. Who the fuck do we have left? Oh shit, we only have John Cena as a major star, Chris Jericho as a major star. We need someone else. We need to bring in Brock.
And
what happened when Brock came in? We all took notice.
How can you say that they're bringing in Rock? How can you say they're bringing in Brock Lesnar to bring star power to the show and think that has nothing to do with ratings?
Because come April 30th, when he gets in the ring, that's when he will matter.
So Brock Lesnar's appearance, the last two appearances on WWE TV, have not mattered.
No, they're not going to matter overall. They're going to matter when it comes to pay-per-views. He has to sell pay-per-views.
I'm sorry. I just don't agree with you on that. If they didn't care about Brock Lesnar's ability to either bring or not bring ratings, if all they care about is his ability to bring on pay-per-view, then they didn't need to bring him on Raw. They could have just said, hey, at Extreme Rules, Brock Lesnar's going to be there by the pay-per-view.
But they've learned nothing will pop the rating like it used to. They know this, but they're trying to pop the buy rate. They're trying. Brock Lesnar is a pay-per-view draw in their mind, and that's what he's been for the last 4 years.
From a television standpoint, I cannot see how you can say they're bringing someone because they want to bring star power and then think that does not affect the Monday night ratings, especially with WWE.
If you tune into the show and you see Brock Lesnar, there's a star. If you're flipping the channel, there's a star. But you're not. The advertisement is not focused around Brock Lesnar. The commercials are not all focused around Brock Lesnar. He's not the face you always see.
And that's why they check the ratings at the 0 hour, the 15 after hour, the 30 in the hour, and the bottom of the hour. They're most likely going to look at the ratings when he was there. And if the ratings go up when he's there, they're going to bring him back.
And they have.
Because because he's brought in viewers, which brings up the ratings.
But it's not, it's spiking a quarter hour, it's not spiking an overall rating.
But it's still spiking the rating. You can cut up the rating, you can cut up the hour if you want to, but it's still a rating.
Okay, but Taker did the same thing when he came back after the Rumble. And he's now gone.
Right, and it popped the rating, but that's a very different situation than with Brock.
How is that different?
Because Taker's only there once a year, that's known. He's a premier entertainer, as you say, or a premier athlete, a premier wrestler. When people know that he's going to be there, he's going to watch. But this is someone who's very late in his career. This is someone who shows up once a year, and everyone knows this.
But Brock's only there for 40 dates. And most of them are pay-per-views. So, again, how is that different than bringing Taker back for his once-a-year appearance versus bringing Brock in for 40 dates?
Because you can't make Taker come back if he doesn't want to. You can't
They can't. He's contractually obligated to be there.
Vince McMahon
looks at Mark Calloway and says, you're going to fucking show up on Monday night. Guess what? He's going to fucking show up on Monday night.
At this point, Taker has enough clout, and at this point in his career, as hurt as he is, they're not going to force him to go out there. Taker and Brock Lesnar are at two very different positions in their careers with WWE. Taker is God. It's like you said, Taker is almost Vince's second son.
But Vince is still in charge.
Yeah, but
and
obviously
Vince still has final say. And if he says, you will be here on this date at this time, guess what? You show up and you do it with bells on.
Just look at Shawn Michaels.
But they've not done that. They have not done that because my guess would be, and this is only a guess, but Taker's got enough clout that he doesn't have to do it if he doesn't want to. If Vince wanted to tell him that, maybe he could. But is Vince going to do it? Obviously, he has not. Taker's earned his downtime. And look at the way the ratings spiked when Taker did show up.
But it was not just Taker. It was a quarter hour, and
it's still a rating. It's still a rating. Whether it's a whole hour rating or a quarter hour rating, it's still a rating by definition.
Let's move on. We're not getting anywhere. Let's finish the rest of what we have tonight.
Oh shit, my flow sheet's minimized.
Let's skip the next thing. Is there anything on here you want to touch on tonight?
No, I'm kind of done.
Want to get the squee moment out of the way?
Sure. Yeah.
Alright, let's take a listen to the squee moment of the week.
Merry Christmas! 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 Merry!
And don't need to repeat.
I always have a lag. You need to work on that.
You can't. There's no. It's because they're behind 7 seconds.
I thought it was just my bad connection.
No,
okay.
It's like 5 to 7 seconds delay between what we're saying and what they hear. That's been discussion tonight. If you have an opinion, chime in. If you hear this on the archive, tweet us, email us. All different social media apparatuses that we have. You can snail mail us too. You can just send them to Tim in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He may give you his address or he may not. If you're King Kins, I don't think he would. Just pointing that out there.
Yeah, King Kittens, don't email or mail Tim. He might come and find you and kill you. Just saying.
Just don't send him.
We love you.
Don't send him any depends. In the mail, that you would be a dead person.
Polar bear?
No, don't send it via polar bear. He might get eated it, and that would be bad.
So everything else on the sheet, it was just minor stuff, so we can let that go for the evening. Canada polar bear delivery. Oh. Anyway, on a positive note, on Monday night, use the hashtag. Michael Cole is a moron. I want to try and do it between 9 and 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, we actually have two. It's Michael Cole is a moron and down with Laurinaitis.
If we can fit that all in there.
If you can get one or both trending, we will love you. Tell your friends.
Yes.
We've already gotten the support of some bigger names on Twitter that are going to help us out on Monday. But again, spread the word, tell your friends, retweet it on Monday. We're going to try and get as many folks talking about it as we can so
right.
we can see it pop up on Monday Night Raw.
Right. Do it between 9 and 9:30 because if you get, the goal is, you get 100 people talking about something, it starts to become a trend. And you can't do it all night long. So keep going during a certain period of time. Let's try to get it between 9 and 9:30. Keep people talking about it. And just don't use the hashtag. Say something about it as well. Say something. Answer like a question, Why is Michael Cole a moron? You say he's a moron and then use the hashtag. This is what I've been reading what gets trending. So it's more than just a hashtag. Put comments with it, and that's how things get talked about, and that's how one person picks up on it, and so on and so forth. Well, I'll put more details up on Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and we'll get the ball rolling on that.
That would be interesting, to be on Twitter when the WWE fans are out in force and then post the question, why is Michael Cole a moron?
Right. You tweet it at WWE Universe, and you get things going. You tweet it at Michael Cole. You get the conversation rolling. That's what we're going to try to do Monday between 9 and 9:30. That's the attempt. We're going to keep an eye on Twitter. If it's trending, we'll capture it, talk about it. Hopefully it gets on TV. Trying. The movement begins Monday night.
And we're going to keep trying, too.
Yes. We got the backing of a few people, and I'm going to try from wherever the weekend and see what I can pull off. We got one big one, thanks to Lindsay.
Yes, Cranky Asshole is going to help us out.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
We got a few others in the works, too. I'm not going to put them on air. We'll talk about them on Monday. We'll see if they come through for us. So, yeah. Follow us at Wild Talk Radio, and we're going to get this trending for you.
Okay. I'll laugh very hard.
And yes, speaking of Twitter, you can follow me again at Linz Ward, LINSWARD on Twitter. You can follow the show at WTR_the_rack, I think, or the underscore the rack. I don't know. Just look it up.
WTR the underscore rack.
I'm too fucking tired at this point to even care. And Jackie, where can they follow you?
I am at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T.
Saturday night at CB Radio, midnight-ish, joining myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. Sunday night at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, as we've been mentioning, is the Raw post-show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Just Incredible will be on the program. Tune in for that. 9 p.m. Eastern. And Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Jed Schaefer, Brian Blotty, and the Cheap Wood Paneling, featuring Scott Barry every 6 weeks.
That's Belinda Carlisle.
Yes, it is.
Whoa, there's a blast from the past. I've not heard that in a long time.
I was watching Romy and Michelle's high school reunion last night, so yeah.
Nice.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and take it out. We hope you guys had a great night. Catch us on the archives if you didn't hear us. Tell your friends. We'd love to get a lot of our listeners. And on that note, I'm Lindsay Ward, and for Jackie Feist and Rock, have a pleasant evening.